participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hello!
Hello! Okay, now the Elvis stuff that we've got. We got a new CD today. We want to thank our friends at the Record Mart.
Elvis just keeps on giving.
The Record Mart in Old Town Alexandria. Let me see. Let's hear cut number 5. Elvis jokes around with his audience. Okay? These are brand new...
knee bone connected to the thigh bone.
Brand new tapes of effed up Elvis at concerts towards the very end when he was trying to connect with his audience. Sure. Elvis.
You ain't... I don't know if a suit will take it or not, but I'm going to give it one hell of a try.
Oh, lung butter.
Anything. Towel, scarf, rug.
The inaudible
mouth.
It's our favorite type of Elvis tape.
No.
Unintelligible.
Open mouth, insert foot. Right, Charlie?
Yeah, Charlie?
Hey, give me some Gatorade.
That's right, E.
Give me some Gatorade.
That's right. You know, Gatorade is good for the gator, I guess.
Gatorade.
Good for the gator, Jack.
And you got to change the water because it tastes like the devil. I mean, it tastes like panther.
Tastes like what?
Panther dot, dot, dot. He was saying panther.
Oh, translating effed up Elvis.
Yeah,
tastes like, very good.
He tastes like panther.
Panther.
Speaks my language.
It's your breath. Man, no one give me a string on that water. You know, that's what it is.
He is just absolutely babbling.
Clearing the lung butter out.
I just said, and I have a raise up. Can't you see?
Imagine the people that paid $50 to hear that.
Okay. Back then.
Yeah.
I'll get it. Okay. I'll get
it. Is that him doing all the...
Yeah, it's him doing all the coughing and everything.
Oh, that's pretty. You want to have that, dear?
Might have been right before he got sick in the hospital.
You want a scarf back?
Cat.
Okay. It's a little bit wet. You don't mind. LV, don't call Elvis. Come on, you know.
God, he's so effed up.
20 years, man, LV.
Thank you, Elvis.
Wow.
You just think you are.
This is great.
Tell him about a hound dog.
Hey!
Tell him about a hound
dog. Wait a minute. Hold it.
You guys. Really, I want to know where your thumbs and fingers are. You know? The nose. Oh.
Well, he's angry now.
This is on the cards. Okay. The finest paid musicians in the world, and they blew it, folks. On that very beginning.
Yeah, they blew it.
Yeah, you're fine. And
he is so effed up on this stage.
I love to hear the start of that.
They, one guy was over here, and James had his fingers in his strings. Glenn had his and stuck between the pages of his heart.
God.
That's great.
Those musicians.
Those poor guys. All right, now here's
Elvis
talking about movie magazines. Elvis.
It's a rough way to make a living, I'll tell you for sure. You don't want to kiss again. I hope not. We'll wait after the show.
It's hard to understand what he's saying, isn't it?
Yeah, he's mumbling.
You know, coolly, because you know how those movies and magazines and things are, you know. That stuff is junk.
Plus tax.
He's talking about movie magazines being junk again, though.
If I did 1/10 of the stuff that they said I did, and I acted the way they did, My karate instructors would not allow me to wear that belt. I would not be where I am. I could not perform on the stage. I could not face my father, my six-year-old daughter. Nothing.
Nothing. My karate instructors would not allow me
to wear a belt.
I bet that's from the same hunk of concerts
probably,
that we got the long tape from, because he has the same themes being examined
there. I don't know how this one's going to translate on the radio. It says, Elvis does karate moves.
Oh, good.
Right. Did you listen to this one in the office?
I didn't.
Okay,
I did
here
not.
We go.
I'm going to do something a little different for you, if you don't mind. I'm going to... There are a lot of people who know that I have been involved in the art of karate for some time, but nobody knows to what degree or whatever.
What degree or whatever.
So what I would like to do, what I'm about to do, and I hope you take it in the right way, is do a what's called a kata, which is a series of movements representing blocks, kicks, punches, things that you see in kung fu and karate. Kung fu and karate are the same thing. There's no difference. It's just the Chinese terminology is kung fu and Japanese.
This is great.
Wow. You want to hear him singing songs instead? He's up and going, kung fu and karate are the same thing.
I'm going to do some things we call kata.
Man,
here we go.
I'm going to do something a little different for you, if you don't mind. I'm going to... There are a lot of people who know that I have been involved in the art of karate for some time, but nobody knows to what degree.
Karate.
Or whatever.
Karate.
So what I would like to do, what I'm about to do, and I hope you take it in the right way, is do a what's called a kata, which is a series of movements representing blocks, kicks, punches, things that you see in kung fu and karate. Kung fu and karate are the same thing. There's no difference. It's just the Chinese terminology is kung fu and Japanese is karate. The word karate, kara means open hand. I mean, open, te means hand. Karate. So just give me a second and I'll do a little bit for you.
All wasted.
Don't mind, do you?
No,
applause. Of course. What are they going to do? What the hell's the audience got to do with this?
Be careful, you guys. You know.
Now, are we going to hear like the audience reacting to his moves?
I hope. What's he going to do? That fake thing where he put his
he's
hand...
He's doing moves. He's doing... That's what he's doing up on stage.
Oh, this must be where he does.
Sounds like porn music.
Karate.
I wish there was a videotape of this.
Oh, there is somewhere. Please send it to us.
This is one of his songs. This is the song, If You Talk in Your Sleep.
Right.
So they're actually just vamping. Maybe the song that he's going to sing. We'll see.
Nope, that's the end of the cut.
That's it. He's just doing his karate.
Karate means open. And K means hand.
Now, here's Elvis forgetting the words to Are You Lonesome Tonight.
Oh, my God.
Now, isn't this the famous one that we have?
Yeah, plus tax.
Sounds like it.
Okay, maybe it's the same tape. That's karate again.
The porno music.
Number 9.
Plus tax.
Are you sorry we drifted apart?
Oh, yeah, this is the one we have. It's the famous one.
Do the chairs in your park?
No?
That's a different one.
Oh, wait a minute.
Hold on.
Yeah, because he doesn't stop there.
Words. Hold on, what, Robbie?
This is a hard song for him to sing, because there's a lot of words to this song, and
right.
I know of at least 5 different versions of him screwing up, and this is one I've never
heard.
One
we've never heard?
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
What?
They're all yelling the words to him.
Right. I can't hear you, honey.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
They're yours.
No, that's yours, dude.
She got him.
Cute as hell. Okay. Can you believe that? I mean, just a complete mental block. And I want a song at about 9. I love you too, dear. Thank you very much. Try it again.
You should play that one.
Are you lost?
Yeah, let me start that one.
You should play that from the beginning.
Start that one over.
Okay, here we go.
Hold on a second.
Elvis just keeps giving.
Cut number nine. Here we go.
Are you sorry?
He's being corrected by his background singer for
okay.
Sweet Inspiration.
Do the chairs.
Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Good grief, what's the words of that song? What?
What? That's your memory stray. That's your memory stray.
I can't hear you, honey. Oh,
God. Does your memory stray?
Does yours?
No. That's yours, dude.
She was gone the next day.
Cute. Cute, sir.
Cute.
Okay. You can believe that? I mean, just a complete mental block. And I want to sign it.
That's unusual.
What do you do, dear?
Dear.
Thank you very much.
Yes, dear.
Dear. That's a southern thing.
Thank you, are you lonesome tonight? Do you miss me tonight? Are you sorry?
Do you think we're the only guys in the world that still laugh like this at Elvis?
And it's not funny just hearing him mess up. Hearing him sing at this stage of the game is funny.
Yeah.
Does your memory
stay? All right, now he's got it here.
To a bright summer day. What I kissed you.
Think he screws it up again?
And called you.
Then his downfall is the spoken word part.
Okay, all right. You probably know best.
To the chairs in your parlor. Seem empty and bare.
All right, he's got it up to this point.
Yeah.
You gaze at your doorstep.
Almost.
And picture.
He's taking every bit of concentration okay. He has.
Is your heart filled with pain? Shall I come back again?
Karate.
Karate.
Show me the
hand.
Are you lonesome?
Now here's the spoken part.
Yeah. My guess is this will present trouble.
I wonder if... You know, someone the words of sage need to be my
yeah.
Square part. I love your first glance. Not you, Charlie. You. You came back too. You shouldn't have changed.
That was better.
Yeah, it's strange. Honey.
Honey.
You lie when you said you love me.
This is new.
Oh, God help me.
God help me.
Anyway. Now the stage is bare.
He knows that part. I'm standing there.
I'm standing there. With emptiness. And if you won't come back to me, I hope you bring the curtain down. And your heart turns to pain. And I'm going to shall I come back?
Oh, God.
Again. Tell me, dear.
Tell me, dear.
Are you lonesome tonight?
Now, the Elvis nuts that went to this show, like in 1977, do you think they had a clue that Elvis was all laughed up? Or
probably
do you think
not. He's up on stage, you know, in a big room? Okay. Probably not.
I don't think so.
They're just thinking, oh, Elvis is being goofy tonight.
That's the way he does, right? Jack, yes.
He works hard.
And apparently he screwed up Are You Lonesome Tonight more than one occasion, okay. Jack.
Honey, I wasn't going to hit you. Goddamn.
Honey?
Hi, man.
Hello, dear. That's like Clinton does that, too.
Now, that wasn't planned. You know, the girl happened to have that lady out here, and swear to God, we don't plan nothing. We plan nothing down here. No. We plan nothing. Everything that happens here is strictly spontaneous. We don't know anything.
Spontaneous.
Like some ice cream. Spontaneous.
See, there, you didn't plan. Now look at her. She's trying to fly.
Fly.
Hey, give me something to give this woman over here.
Give me a pill.
Shut up, Johnny.
Yeah.
And as for your personal advice, do what? Lemon tender?
So, I like the total loss of control of an audience.
You got it.
You're listening to the Elvis Presley Show live.
Born in the heat of the desert.
What the hell is this song?
My mother died, giving me life.
Do you think it's on the CD because he screws it up?
Yes, I don't know.
Must be. Blame for the loss of his wife.
Sounds like Joe Krebs.
No Lord, I've been in a prison.
Hey.
All right, hold on. Let me see what else I got here real quickly. Hold on.
Plus tax.
Elvis? We've heard all the good stuff from this one.
Is that just the refrain?
Oh, hold on. I forgot the outtakes from his recording session.
Oh, excellent.
Oh,
we got more of these?
Queenie Wahini outtake.
Here we go. J-O, take one.
J-O, take one.
Some of those great movie songs.
This picture papaya, but Queenie Wahini in perfect perpetual joy. Oh, some people's palates fit perfect.
No wonder he got high all the time.
Yeah, listen to the stuff he had to do.
Each pie, oh, Queenie's papaya, you truly desire when that Queenie Wahini passes by. Queenie Wahini's papaya rates higher than pineapple, pumpkin, or pork.
I bet it's not supposed to be going this fast, right?
Almost right.
You won.
Almost.
Here we go, Queenie.
I don't know. I don't know what that is.
No, that wasn't.
I don't know. All right.
Well, I won't much anything.
Here's the best one on the whole thing. Elvis telling someone in the crowd to F you.
Absolutely.
I had a request. Someone asked me to do American Trilogy, so we're going to do that.
That's so funny.
I love you, Tuesday. Well, I don't take that for granted, though. I love you.
F you. Oh, Elvis.
Queenie Wahini.
That's Elvis Presley.
I don't know. That's new Elvis. Yeah, some new stuff, including a new screwed up version of Are You Lonesome Tonight, which I love.
That's better than the one that that we have that everybody else in the world has.
And then him forgetting some other lyrics too, where his background singer backs bust on him a little bit.
Karate.
Open hand.
Karate.
China is known as kung fu.
All right. Thank you, Elvis.
Dynamite. Go to break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And Mike, you know, I heard you were having a party, and you're trying to get me to go, but I'm not going to go if there's no f***ing ZD, because, you know, it's just not going to happen. Thank you very much.
The Don and Mike Show. Trying desperately to give the human spirit some credit. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Honey?
Yes, my darling.
Honey, listen, I know that I wanted to talk with you about what happened to you at the movies this weekend.
It's weird talking to you this time of day.
But
it's weird having my house to myself. My house. I know you hate it when I say that.
Yeah. But Mike has come to me with a plea.
Yes. I need it desperately today to purge, to share my experiences of the weekend, my multifold experiences of agony over the weekend.
I'm telling him that I was in the flood. And it doesn't.
Yeah, and that's when I really. The only thing I asked for priority C is when you started to bring up weather, because my whole thing hinges on the weather, not the flooding, which came later in the weekend, but something that a lot of people didn't get that I found out.
Well, stay there, honey. I'll call you later.
No, that's good. I'll turn off my radio and listen. And Mike, sometime Frida,
you'll appreciate
with you.
Yeah, Frida, you will like this story.
I want to hear it, but Mike, sometime when life calms down, I'd like to chat with you. You might be my Broadway buddy.
Okay.
And I wanted to do some eBay chatting with you too. So I have many things to discuss.
All right, absolutely. All right, hopefully you know.
Email Mike at Johnny Fagula at Broadway.com.
Yeah, I think everybody wants to go to. Now you haven't been to the big show, right? The producers yet, right?
Well, I bought tickets, but I couldn't get them till spring.
Guys, okay. I hear the Arbitrons being switched all over America.
Okay, all right.
Knock off the Broadway stuff.
Okay, I'll keep a low profile.
All right, I'll call you later.
Okay, good.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay.
You got it. The floor is yours.
All right, here we go. All right, now we have the new time is very convenient because, you know, I do this band thing on Friday night. Don plugged it a couple of times down in Warrenton, Virginia. It's the same place we've been a few times.
Yeah, thank you.
And because that doesn't even matter to me.
A Jack Diamond band.
Thank you. Because of the fact that we're off earlier now, I used to, like, show up for these things. If we had a band thing on Friday night, I would show up and everything, you know, everybody else would set up. But because of the fact that we're off early now, and I'm the earliest, I can get there. So I took this little trailer with all the band equipment down, and I was going to get down there about 4 o'clock, between 4 and 4:30.
This is on Friday, right?
On Friday night. This is about 4:30. And I leave my house at 4, and I'm going through this little thought process, and I mention this because it's significant. I'm like, should I take the main drag to get down there, or should I sneak in my little back way that has a couple of dirt roads and bounces this trailer around? Might bounce it. I said, what the heck? It's a trailer. It's got a little suspension on it. It can handle this. No problem at all. Well, as I pull out from my house to head down to this band location, down to the Second Street Cafe down in Warrenton, Virginia.
Thank you.
I'm sitting there, and I notice that the clouds are, you know, clouds are thickening. It's getting a little black. You get that kind of yellow look that we get around here. But I'm thinking nothing of it. I know thunderstorms are forecast. I know that we're supposed to get a few rainstorms, but we did all last week, and we have for, it seems to me, the better part of a month, we've been getting this kind of weather in the afternoon around Washington, D.C. So I make the decision that I will go the back way, the sneaky little way around these residential streets, and this one old, like, farm road that I take to get down there. So as I'm turning onto this farm road, I notice that you're seeing all these leaves on the street, you know, like the fresh leaves that have blown off trees, and it's starting to blow a little bit, and I'm getting the kind of raindrops that are like thwack, thwack, just an occasional splat of the raindrops. So I'm driving along, and I'm saying this won't be a big problem, and suddenly the rain gets a little heavy, and at that moment, I was almost to this major artery called Route 29, which is wide open. It's a highway. I'm almost off this back little road. This is a back road that is farmland, and at the end of the farmland are, along the street, these very mature, old, huge, from the, you know, Civil War days, these huge trees. Just before I'm going to get to this Route 29, I swear to God, it was like somebody threw a light switch. The rain came down, and instantaneously, I slammed my brakes on because I'm seeing absolutely nothing. I mean, the rain, I never have experienced rain like this. It was so thick that I had to put my car in park and stop the car. And
you're one of the people now who pulls your car over on the side of the road during a rainstorm.
Oh, no, no, there's no side of the road here. This road is two lanes, and there's nowhere to go. There was a plumbing truck in front of me that when the rain started and the wind started, he takes a left-hand turn into this farmer's driveway because he wants to go into the open field. I had a Suburban and a trailer in back of it, and I got freaked out so bad that I kind of veered over a little bit, and then I stopped. And I'm glad I did, because when the rain, it hit, and about 5 seconds later...
I still think it's funny. You're in a Suburban,
right,
with the trailer, with all your band stuff,
right,
for the Rollin' Oldies show.
Yeah, I didn't have the crap name on the side of the trailer, though. That'll come later. So what I did was I stopped, and as soon as the rain cleared, I looked, and there's a 50-foot poplar tree that has fallen across the road in front of me.
Wow.
It happened so fast, I didn't even see it, and because the rain was so heavy, I didn't see it come down. So this 50-foot poplar comes down, and I realize suddenly that this storm is not letting up. And I'm looking at oak trees that are like being blown over like palm trees. These oak trees are at an angle. These are old, thick, fat, thick trees, and they're starting to bend over. At this point, the rain has cleared, but the wind is coming through, and I hear boom,
like this. I look in my side view mirror, and in back of me, an oak limb has come down and crushed across the windshield of the car in back of me. Ooh. So I've got a 50-foot poplar, and that's when the wind really started. It started to come through. The limbs are falling down. The trailer I have was hit four times, crushing the back of the trailer. The car that I'm driving in was not hit. This is the cowardly part. I put the car, it was blowing so bad that I put the car in park, and I knew where I was sitting in this car, on either side of me were these giant oaks. And it wasn't the oaks themselves, but the limbs that are the size of trees that are coming down, and they're coming down. I actually crawled to the back of the Yukon and lay down flat on my stomach because I said, when the eventual tree limb comes through and crushes the car, at least if I'm lower to the ground, I'll be okay. Yeah. This goes on for, I don't know how, you know, you don't really get any sense of time. It was probably very quick, but I'm looking at, finally it stopped.
Was 90 minutes.
It was
laying in the back of your car.
It was a good time. It was a good chunk of time. I'm sitting there. I have never seen anything even remotely like this. They say that in the general area there was what they call, I think it's called a microburst,
right,
where it's just a very heavy line of thunderstorms, and that's what everybody thinks it was. It was confined to a very, because I drove the route back that night just to see what had happened, and I noticed that it was a very, very concentrated area. But there were probably, I guess, 30 trees on this road that they had to clear out. So finally, and then we get the obligatory hail. And during the hailstorm, that's when another limb came down and hit the trailer. And, you know, not flattening it, but taking a big chunk out of it and damaging the inside of it. And I'm sitting there. The thing was, I'm on my stomach because I didn't know what to do. There was nowhere to turn.
So you climbed to the back of this SUV.
I was kind of in between the seats of the SUV. I was in between the bench seats and the mid part, just kind of on my side, figuring if I get lower, when the branch comes down and crushes the car, I'll be okay. And I have nowhere to go. I got a 50-foot tree across the road in back of me. I got a lady who hopefully that is not dead, and she wasn't hurt. I don't think she was
not
hurt.
Bad, hopefully.
I don't think she was hurt. I mean, even when it let up, though, the cloud to ground lightning was shooting all over the place. Ooh. And we all start to finally the thing goes through and it's just spitting rain and we get out of the car and I've never seen anything like this. I mean, I looked back and there are 20 or 30 cars in back of me because everybody's been stopped by this. There are trees you can't see Route 29 now because there's so many limbs that have come down. He's doing what I do. Now I know why that pisses you off.
Yeah,
because you're laughing at my moment of near death.
Well, no, I'm thinking. It wasn't. I was just thinking you're alone in the car, but you're not really alone because you have your good friends. The smell of urine with you, in the car.
It was weird. The first thing I thought, I had left the house to go down to this thing, and my wife and my 81-year-old mom and my kids were heading out at the same time to go out to dinner. And I said, you know, the first thing, once you stop, clean off the urine off your leg and you're sitting there and it's starting to let up a little bit, my first thought was to call them.
Right.
So I'm calling, and I call, and I hear this phone ring. I said, oh, somebody must be calling me. So I said, hello, and I'm hearing this phone ring. Then I pick up, oh, it's my wife's phone. And I pick it up and go, hello, you're trying to call me. And then I realize, you a-hole. I was in such shock. My wife's phone was still in the car. I was calling the phone, and I thought it was, okay. I was calling myself, and I didn't know who was calling me. This is how, I mean, I am not kidding you. I have never,
I got to get you a dress to wear around now.
It took me, a couple of hours to like just get to that spot, you know. Needless to say, when I got down to the bar, thank God that's right. Where I was working that evening was at a bar.
Right.
It was,
right.
Lucky break.
Here's the funny thing, and I know you might not believe it. I was planning to have a nice, easy evening.
You weren't planning on drinking.
I'm always planning on a little cocktail, but you know, we get done, and the first thing I'm thinking about seriously is, are my kids okay? And I'm not going to get out of the car. I'm freaked out by lightning anyway, and I don't want to get out of the car. But I see this this person in back of me that's got the limb, and then I looked in my side view mirror, and I saw this person had gotten out of the car. So the person in back of me was not killed. At this point, I dial 911. This is when always
okay,
be prepared.
Hold on a second.
No. I mean, every
call 911.
30 people had dialed 911. There were power lines down. This thing we needed. Nobody could get anywhere. You'd got to get a road coming in. So I call 911 and I see this guy who was stuck at the end of his driveway. And I said, what's the address? I want to call 911. And I realize what an idiot. I've driven this road 500 times, and I don't know the road. It's Route 600. That's the road. Anybody that was on Route 600 at that moment, and there were a few people out there, will know what I'm talking about. The guy said, that's all right. I already called 911. And then a guy was walking by me. He said, it's all right. I already called 911. By this time, we can hear the sirens coming because they're trying to come down. We can't see past, I can't see past this big poplar tree. I can't see if there was anybody that was hit by the tree in front of me. It turned out there was nobody in front. I was the leader, and I had a moment of paranoia because I got out of the car and I looked back, and there these cars in back of me, and they're all kind of looking at me because I think they were thinking, you know, is anybody in that truck all right up there? And then I thought maybe they're looking at me because when that storm hit, I stopped the truck. And maybe they were thinking I was the reason they were trapped, not the 50-foot poplar tree, you know. But it was weird. And then what we did, and this leads to the other part of my weekend. At that point, this old guy, this great old guy who had a very sharp chainsaw comes up because, you know, really, you know, the rescue crews, God love them. I know they do a very good job. But, you know, you have the obligatory men in raincoats with fire hats and everything that walk back to see what is obvious. You know, I guess they have to check to make sure nobody's hurt. But what our primary thing is, get the road crew in with the chainsaws. Get us the F off this road before the next storm comes in and drops more trees down. So the guys, what happened was, the majority of the trees were moved early on by guys that had their own chainsaws. There was this old guy, I guess, that lived up the street, and he comes down with a chainsaw, and we start moving this brush, and for about an hour, I'm just moving brush. He would cut, and I'm taking these limbs, you know, these leaf-covered limbs that I grabbed, and that actually gets to the story later. You know, a couple of these limbs had what looked to be hairy leaves on them, you know, and I'm pulling these, and the guy's like, pull it over there, and I'm moving these limbs out of the way, and there are about 10 people doing the same thing, and by that time, the road crews had come through, and then there's an ambulance that's going, he's trying to get through, and I've got the trailer, which I do not do well with this trailer. And we finally get out of there.
With your band equipment.
My band equipment, and, you know, and it was the trailer that was, not terribly damaged, but it was damaged. It had a big dent in it. It was good because, you know, you need evidence when you have something like that happen to you. The whole side, it's this white trailer, and the whole side of it was plastered with leaves, and then there was a big piece of, a chunk of wood sticking out of the dent where it had caved in the back of the trailer. So we finally get moving. I get down to this place, and I'm setting the things up, taking a drink, setting some stuff up, taking a drink. And I didn't realize until the next day that we went to a family reunion. And I was, you know, I was tired, but outside of that little, you know, everything was fine. You know, I'm glad to see the family. The family was fine, too. They had made it. They'd gotten to the restaurant they went to before the storm. I go to a little family reunion, my mother-in-law's 60th birthday. It's an outdoor thing. It's very hot and humid, and I'm sitting there all day long, and my eyes itched a little bit, but I didn't think much of it. And then, you know, about 4 hours into this thing, I said, I'm going to take my mom back home, and I take her back home, and she goes off to read, and I said, do you mind if I go up and take a nap? She said, yeah, go up and take a nap. I wake up about an hour later, and my left eye is closed.
Oh.
My left eye is completely closed.
When Mike came into work today and took off his gigantic Harry Carey-like glasses, I thought he was in a fist fight.
Right.
I mean, because your eyes are all puffed.
Swollen shut.
And swollen like Rocky, like someone took a swipe at you.
Well, it was swollen a little bit on, you know, this is the first part of it, and I said maybe I just slept wrong or something like that, or maybe the incredible, you know, drinking that I've done over the last 10 years has finally caught up with me, you know. So I come down. We go out to dinner on Saturday night, and I'm sitting there with this eye and trying to be functional. Wake up on Sunday morning, and the eye is almost completely closed. And it was then that, you know, the great weekend continues. And I said, what the hell's going on? And then we figured it might be poison ivy. But I said, I wasn't around any poison. You know, this is how stupid I am. I wasn't around any poison ivy because I'd gone to the family reunion, and I basically sat at a picnic table all day long. So we go into the emergency room because I can't see out of my left eye. We walk in, and the doctor comes in, and he's looking at me. He's checking it out, and he says, you look familiar to me. I said, well, he said, do you do a radio show? I said, are you in radio? He said, are you in radio? I said, yeah. We might have met at a Poe convention, a Bobby Poe convention. I said, I used to be on Mix.
My name's George Mason. I'm Dr. Eric Mason now. And I'm sitting there, you know, immediately feeling like quite the underachiever, incidentally. You know, I'm sitting there talking to another DJ who somehow got his medical degree. He said, I'm George Mason. You might have remembered. I said, yeah, I remember that name. I mean, oh, he's a night jockey or something
You're
like that?
You're being treated by a disc jockey?
Treated by a DJ. A doctor disc jockey. Dr. Eric Mason, who's sitting there, and he's, you know, he's looking at my eye, and he said, you have a topical dermatitis. It could be poison oak. It could be a cobweb that you walked through that you were, but it's probably like a poison ivy. And I'm sitting there. I said, well, where could I have gone? And then, duh, the light goes off. The ding goes off in my head. You know, all I was doing for an hour and a half on Friday was hauling brush and, like, with my bare hands, and then I was, like, all sweaty, and I was wiping the sweat out of my eyes, and that's what I had, so I had this stuff. So he puts me on this steroid, and I'm really pissed! Puts me on this this little steroid to calm it down.
Did you think about getting a second opinion from a doctor who is not a disc jockey?
Well, not really, because he made the diagnosis rather rapidly, and we had actually noodled through the poison ivy thing when we were sitting there, because all of a sudden I'm like, duh. It didn't happen to me Saturday. It happened to me Friday afternoon when I was moving all this stuff, and I guess it goes up, it crawls up these trees pretty high, and some of these limbs that I was moving was, what did he write? What did he write?
No,
I want to hear it.
No, it's Dr. Brucey to the ER.
That's all he wrote.
My cousin Brucey.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was a little cause for concern, sure. But he gave me the prescription, which I'm taking right now, hopefully that, you know, because he said the swelling would go down a lot.
It hasn't.
No, it hasn't.
It had buzz as bad as you looked with your pink eye a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Right. That's the one thing. That was the first question he asked.
Payback time for you now, Buzz.
It is. That was the first thing he asked. He said, is there anything in the eye?
Take a look at Puffy over there.
I said, is there anything in the eye? He said, is there anything in the eye? I said, no. I said, no, there's nothing in the eye. It's just it's on the outside of the eye. And so what I was doing is, like, I had an ice pack on my head all day yesterday. And I had 4 tickets to go to the game at Camden Yards, you know, see the Red Sox. And gave them to my brother-in-law and my father-in-law. They went without me because I didn't feel like going to the game because I couldn't see out of my left eye. And that was my my weekend. My weekend ended with an ice pack on, and then I came to work today. But I survived it, and I feel pretty good right now. All things considered, I really feel pretty good.
You're
but
lucky to be alive.
I was as scared. I don't think... You remember that time we were in the plane when they made the aborted landing in the TWA plane?
Yeah.
This was like times 20. This is like...
Really?
Ooh. This is like 20 times worse than it. This was really
just
thinking...
Just from the storm we had on Friday?
This was... No, from the limbs coming down and crashing down on top of the trailer and back of my car and the tree falling down and feeling that it was inevitable because I was trapped and there was nowhere I could go. The guy, the plumbing guy that went up into the farmer's field, the open field, didn't get a... You know, there wasn't even a leaf on his car. He actually... But the fact that you've been on those roads in Virginia, those old roads that have these trees, these oak trees that have been around for a million years.
No,
and
this is like that time we did that show in Frederick when you made us go the Bass Ackwards way.
Those kind of roads.
Right. I don't go on roads like that. I go on big paved roads.
And it was the thing that killed me, it was such a thought process to say, take the main drag. You know, I like to take, you know, I like to take shortcuts on little back roads. And that's what I did. And, you know, this is not a small road. I mean, this is a road that is traveled by a lot of people. It goes between two major highways, and, you know, it just, we all got trapped. And we got trapped. It looked so concentrated. I know there were lots of storms in the area, but it looked so concentrated, the real intensity. And I think it had more to do with where we were than the intensity of the storm. The fact that these trees were in the path of it caused more trouble as I try to look. It feels like it's puffier now than when I started regaling you with this stuff.
Thinking about it makes it worse.
But, yeah, I'm very relieved, very, very happy, and I was very happy to, you know, be out of there. And I didn't even realize how damaged the trailer was until I got down to the gig, man.
Thank you.
And I'd like to thank all the 12 people that came out and saw us on Friday night.
Ouch.
No, there were more people than that. It was just a light turnout on Friday night. But it didn't matter.
Well, I'm sure it was the weather, the twisters we had.
My mom came down. My mom came down to see the band. So it was very nice to see her.
There you go.
Yeah, I was proud of that. She was proud. She was proud of her little Sonny playing the drums. It was lots of fun. We had a very, very nice time.
Good time was had by all. And that's it. That's it. Thank you for giving me
good
priority
story.
Seating on that, because I really wanted to share my near-death experience.
But you really weren't near death, though.
No, not at all. No.
Not really.
No, I mean, near death would be if one of the limbs had actually hit the car.
Yes.
And the car didn't get hit. The trailer got hit, but the car didn't get hit. And even if the car had gotten hit with that limb that hit the trailer, I was extraordinarily lucky. There was a huge limb that hit the car directly in back of me. And that lady, I don't think, was hurt. But that's the kind of limb that can, you know, you see it occasionally when one of those full oaks comes down, and that's what we were all thinking. And I don't think anybody was badly hurt that day. So if you want to be technical about it.
It was not a near-death experience.
You know, not a near-death experience.
But the good part
near-death experience would be if I had, you know, been hit in the head by a twig and been rushed to the emergency room and seen the light at the end of the tunnel.
But that is right. But
technically, not a near-death. Your experience in the islands would probably be
I'm not comparing that to this.
What's your point?
I'm just saying that it's not near-death.
Well,
you were in your car, and we were having a bad thunderstorm.
Right.
And, I do like the part. I will always treasure the part of you hiding.
Crawling down into the on my
crawling
stomach.
To the back of your SUV.
Yes, yeah. But, no, actually, there was no danger whatsoever. Actually, it was a walk in the effing park, okay? It was absolutely no problem whatsoever. Absolutely, you know, I was not, you know, I wasn't even really scared.
Well,
it was just windy. There wasn't even hail.
I think I watched the news most of the weekend. I didn't hear about any near hurricanes or tornadoes coming through the area.
Because this is out in
I almost said it.
You know, it was, anybody that was on there, anybody that was on that road, they could tell you.
Those people would all say it was a near-death experience?
Yeah, not a near-death experience, but it was definitely scary. It was just plain scary. Are you saying that I'm making more out of this than it was? Is that what you're saying? Because that's really going to piss me off.
Really?
Yeah, because I really was scared. It was a scary experience. Near-death would be overstating it.
I
wanted to tweak it up for the show a little bit.
But it's not near-death, so it was just scary. And perhaps scarier to you than it would have been to others.
No!
Yes!
Of course not. No, everybody that was in that was scared. Everybody that was in that on that road was scared. It was very, very scary because there was wind and there were trees falling down across the road and there were tree limbs falling across the road and there were cars being hit by tree limbs and there was hail and there was wind and there was cloud to ground lightning and it sucked. And it was terrifying. Do not diminish this. I will not accept that.
Well, listen.
I'm very, very happy to be here.
I have a story about the weather that's about nothing but all out bravery.
All right.
Okay. That's what I.
Well, we know that you rescued. Did you rescue anyone?
No, I didn't
rescue a small kitten from a flash flood.
I didn't rescue anybody.
All right.
It's just about being in the elements and you know, being brave.
Yes.
And not in near death elements.
Right.
You know.
Well, look at this poison ivy I got clearing the road. That tree that I cleared made it possible for all the other people to escape the road.
It's true.
Hello, John and Mike show.
Hello, Mara, you...
F you.
Hey, I know where you were, man. You were right down there around Bull Run, down around...
Wrong. Wrong.
And when you get down there, you know, you're down there in the country, you keep a pole and chainsaw in the back of your truck.
No, but I wasn't near... where you're saying is not where I was, sir, so you were wrong about that.
Right down around Thoroughfare, down on them back roads. I know where you were.
No, you don't.
Okay.
You're wrong, dumbass.
Okay. But I am right.
No, you're wrong.
I bet you play the tambourine in your band, don't you?
No, I don't.
Oh, he plays it. Come on, let's not pile on here.
F-U-F, ball.
Let's not pile on here. He plays the drum.
I am in no mood to take crap from some mouth-breathing hun yet.
Mike was in a very scary situation.
I was.
That he would like us to believe is near death.
No, I backed off of that. I mean, if you really wanted me to back off of that, that's fine.
Okay.
You know,
well, just be honest.
I was honest.
If you think it was
what
near...
What do you mean, be honest?
That's
everything
what I mean.
I told you was true.
If you think it was near death...
Well, no, I mean...
Stand by that.
No, I'm not. I told you, near death would be overstating. It's scary, yes. Near death, it depends. If one of those oak trees had come down, it might have gotten a little dicey. I tell you, with the wind that came through there, nobody knew what was going on. There was, you know, limbs and everything falling all over the road.
Hello, Don and
Mike. Very scary. And I'm not talking about twigs either. God damn it.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, I just wanted to let you guys know that a tornado did touch down right outside of Warrenton in a little town called New Baltimore.
Was that where you were, Mike?
Exactly where I was.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is
so it was
that
pretty
is the
bad
address.
Out there.
That is the if you wanted to talk about the town I was in. You mean so right at the intersection of 29 and 600? That's New Baltimore, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Bad way to New Baltimore.
I don't think it didn't. I mean, it was hard to tell because there were trees on either side, but if it was a tornado, it was a tornado.
Well, that would give your story more validity. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where I was.
If you were in the middle of an actual tornado.
I didn't know that. I didn't know. I thought it was a. Somebody said it was a microburst. I didn't know it was a tornado.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, buddy.
You guys know where Wolf Trap is off of Route 7 on the way out to Reston.
Yeah.
It was a big accident on Route 7, and I have a Jeep Wrangler. So I'm tooling down Route 7, and it's backed up. So right when you get past Wolf Trap, I take a left to try to cut over to Hunter Mill to get down to Reston. Well, I get to the bottom of this hill, and I can't remember the street name, but it was something that you see directly out of those crazy videos where they're pulling people by chopper out of the water. The water was streaming at river pace above the mailboxes and above the fences.
I think you're making more out of that than it was.
I'm not, man. He's not,
and I'll tell you why, because I know a person.
Oh, he's not because he's a caller on the phone. Meanwhile, the guy you worked with for 15 years.
I know a person.
I would love somebody to call and tell me if seriously, a tornado touched down in New Baltimore, because that is where I was when.
Well, give the street address again.
I was almost at the intersection of Route 600 and Route 29.
All right, hold on. I got somebody. Says they were on 600 like Mike.
Okay.
Here we go. Hello.
Hey, buddy.
Hey,
buddy.
Okay. Hey. Hold on a second. Now,
he didn't make it on Friday night, incidentally.
Here's the guy who really says he was on the road that you were on. Hello.
Hey!
Hey!
I was two cars behind you.
Really? Were you?
Pick up your phone, please.
I'm on my cell phone.
Well, don't you have a? Can't you pick it up?
It is picked up.
Did you see the trailer? My trailer?
I saw your trailer, and I remember you running down through there. We got to get back in the vehicles. It's not safe.
Yeah. When the cloud to ground lightning, when everybody was starting after the storm passed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was the one who pulled the woman out of the car that was in between your vehicle and mine. I was in the.
Was she all right?
She was fine.
You can tell everybody now that if you were on that road, everything I say is the God's honest truth.
It's the God's honest truth.
Did you read that was a tornado or was that a microburst?
I would say that it would probably be a microburst, but not a check-in for a tornado situation.
Would you, sir, identify this as a near-death experience?
Not near-death.
We should ask him if it scared him.
Did it scare you?
I about abandoned my vehicle 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, there was that thought, too, but I thought that would have been dumb. You mean to, like, actually run out into one of the fields?
Run out of my vehicle.
Yeah, I was thinking about running out to where the trees weren't, but we didn't. Well, there we go. There's a little corroboration of the story.
Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Hey, buddy.
Between Broadway.com and this, I don't know. I'm developing quite an image on this.
All right.
He hasn't said that.
No,
yet.
I have not said that. No, but
he's definitely backed me off of the near-death experience, though, and that might be legit, but I haven't gotten the...
Not yet, no.
Right. Even the part where I lay down flat on the stomach. No.
Well, you heard this guy.
He was thinking about abandoning the vehicle. It was scary. He's two cars in back of me. If he was the guy that pulled the lady out of there, then that's...
he was a hero.
He was right. He is the hero. I wasn't getting out of my car.
You lift up your glasses and show me your puffy face. Jesus.
God.
All right. Clear.
What a weekend.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. The Don and Mike Show. Possibly crooked. The Don and Mike Show.
Now, listen. Get set for a real story of heroic stuff here, okay?
Courage.
Here you go. Now, a story about the elements in which I did not hide in my car.
You are one competitive man. I'll tell you
that. Well, I had this story coming in today.
Yeah.
I'm not just making this up on the fly.
Right.
Hey, Rob. Robbie. Where'd you go? Hey, Speewack. How about give me the theme from Superman? While I'm telling my story here.
Okay.
Because my story is a story of bravery in the elements.
Very good.
I didn't hide. Now I didn't have, as you described, didn't have the wind and the trees falling over and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was simply a flood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Simply a flood.
Right. A lot of people had floods over the weekend.
Yes, which
a lot of people had.
A lot of rain.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently not a lot of people had the weather you're speaking of. Since
no.
You're the only person I know who's mentioned such weather.
Well, except for the guy that was two cars in back of me.
Yeah,
that pulled the lady out of the car with the tree limb over it. I know you're trying to
spin it that it was a lie.
You don't think he was credible?
Well, no. I think any other time, if a guy called the show...
Yes.
Why are you doing this? Why is it so difficult for you to handle the fact that I was in this storm on Friday? Why are you being like this?
Why are you doing this?
Don't do this.
I'm just busting your balls.
Well, stop it. I had a very traumatic experience on Friday. Very, very traumatic. It scared the crap out of me.
Okay.
And a lot of other people that were on that road. And I found that guy, if the guy put, you know, the guy's talking about the lady that was in back of me, I found that guy infinitely credible.
Okay.
Thank you very much. So tell me about your little brave story here.
Well, listen, I'm not, until you told your story,
yes.
I wasn't going to present my story as a story of heroism.
Heroism?
Heroism, or yes. Amy is the bravest guy in the world.
Heroism.
But I will tell you that on Saturday, while we received the bad weather that you were speaking of.
Well, no, mine was on Friday night, so this is a whole different...
But it's the same weather.
It rained all weekend.
Yes, it did.
The same crap. I was on my way to the grocery store. Nothing as exotic as your trip. Just
right.
I was on a regular road right by the Reston, Virginia area, and I got down by where there was a little dip in the road, and there's a little bridge, and I suddenly drove into what looked like a puddle, when in actuality it was water that came all the way up almost to the windows of my car.
Wow.
And while other people, I think, had stories where their cars stalled.
Right.
Or they jumped out of their cars.
Right.
And waited.
That's
to
what
be,
you're not supposed to do, right? You're not supposed to get out of your car. Right.
Waited to be rescued. What I did, and this now is a testament to the fine people at GM.
Yes.
Who make the Cadillac.
Right.
What I did was, I hit the gas.
Yeah.
And my baby just pushed right through.
Right.
Pushed right through.
Where does the bravery come in?
Well, that's the bravery, that I was stuck in a gigantic pool of mud.
Uh-huh. Well, I wouldn't say that. Don't they say, though, on the news all the time that if you see water in the road, standing water, you're not supposed to drive through it?
Yes, but you had no idea as you were driving down the road that the water was going to be 3 or 4 feet deep.
So the bravery would be that you hit the gas pedal.
Yes.
That is it.
I have to give you credit for that. That's the bravest thing I've ever heard of.
Thank you.
And you survived. You survived to tell about
it. I survived. And I have no poison ivy.
Right. Right.
Nothing.
You didn't have to move anything except your foot.
Right.
And you burst through there and...
burst right through.
And did you make it to the grocery store on time?
I did. I got my supplies.
Now, what did you do on the way back? Did you cross the same body of water?
Oh, no.
No.
No, I took an alternate route on the way back.
With no standing water.
With no standing water.
That's brave.
Well, thank you, Mike.
And your eyes don't seem to be puffy at all.
They are not. And on Saturday, then, I had a... much like my underpants and much like my bathtub,
right.
There was an actual brown ring all the way around my car.
From where the water was.
Where you could see how high the water was.
Wow. Right, right.
And everybody was telling me just not how brave I was, but what an idiot I was.
Mm-hmm.
That apparently if you're dumb enough to drive your car into this water, which and I didn't know it was so deep.
That's how people get killed all the time.
What you're supposed to do.
So technically you had a near-death experience.
It's an act of bravery. What you're supposed to do is just stop your car
in the water
and get towed out.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
What you're not supposed to do is what I did, which was just when the car stalled,
right.
I just fired it back up and pushed on my foot on the gas, and it just took off.
You see, if you'd put the car in reverse and backed out of the puddle, it would have been a different story. The fact that you went forward, that you persevered, that is the bravery of it. See,
actually, until you came in with your story today, I wasn't even going to go with the bravery angle.
Right.
I was just going to go with the angle that I'm an idiot that drove into a deep puddle, and for whatever reason, dumb luck,
right?
I hit the gas and I drove right through it.
You were very lucky.
That's an incredible story of you know, courage under fire.
Thank you.
You know, and here I was cowering in my vehicle. I should have taken a lesson out of your playbook and tried to drive over the 50-foot poplar tree that was in front of me.
You're both lucky to be alive.
That wouldn't have been possible, I'm afraid.
You probably shouldn't have stopped.
I couldn't go anywhere. The tree was
But
in front
didn't
of me.
You stop before the tree went, though?
I stopped. If I hadn't stopped, I would have been stopped by the tree, because the tree came down at the same time that that I stopped my car.
Hello.
Hey, hola.
Hey.
Hey, is mom around?
Yeah, wait there.
Yeah,
there you go.
Hold on a second, Dad. Yes.
That's him.
I'm never going to give you up.
And he is feeling his oats, too.
Hello, my hero.
Hello, honey. Hi there. Now, you will attest, you know, Mike has no actual people other than callers.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So now we require eyewitnesses to sign an affidavit and come down here to the station. Is that
you,
what it is?
You, in fact, did see the brown crown around my car.
I did, and I marveled at your brave stupidity, too.
Thank you, honey.
You're welcome, my boo-boo.
Well, listen, really, what I want Free to tell you about has nothing to do with anything with the weather or bravery. Well, though she was brave, she took Bert to see American Pie, too.
Yeah.
And listen to this. They were in Ocean City, and they're going to see American Pie, too.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie's rated R, and you know that a bunch of theaters have policies now that you got to have someone there with an ID to bring someone under 17 into the movie, right?
It's gotten so much tougher just in the time we've been taking Barty to see dirty movies, you know.
All right, but now listen to this, what happened. This is really Gestapo-like, and I'm surprised that my wife stood for this.
It used to be you could just, you know, buy the ticket and then drop your kid off. Now I know that you have to go in with your kid. They crack down. They can't just have the ticket with them. Wow. You can't just send them in.
Right.
So when I bought the ticket, and it was on a Saturday night, we're at the beach, and there's a line of people behind us, and they said, "Do you have anyone under 17 with you?" And I said, "Yes," thinking no problem because I'm the mom. And they said, "Okay, fine, we'll fill this out." So I had to fill out a form that had my name, address, my telephone number.
Wow.
I had to put my driver's license number and write that down. And there's a line of people behind us. I'm sitting at the box office filling this out. Then I had to sign it. And then the cashier had to sign it. And then when we went into the movies, Bart had to hand that over with his ticket to the ticket taker.
Wow. Isn't that a bunch of crap just to take your kid to see American Pie?
I thought we were going to see live sex. I was getting excited. What's in this movie?
You know, don't they... I thought it was just they would eyeball you with somebody who was older if you're accompanying the person under 17 into the theater.
I thought the deal was that, yeah, right, all you had to do was show the ID.
And American Pie is rated R?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, because you see, you know, boob, nothing much.
All right.
And the guy who super glues his hand.
You don't see his private parts. You just see that he's wearing his boxers. You don't see any male nudity.
Did they try to get an NC-17 for that or something like that?
I don't know, but how ridiculous is that? The movie's just rated R, that they make Frida fill out paperwork with her name and her address.
It's pretty weird.
And give her the driver's license.
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, you know, if I hadn't promised Bart I'd take him to this movie and there was a line of people, I would have protested, because that's really invasion of privacy.
She would have protested.
Huh?
You would have protested.
I would have protested.
No, you said it protested.
Well, I would have.
After the movie, did you go out and get ice cream?
You know what? It's hard for you being perfect, my darling. And you can make fun of your partner, but don't poke fun at me, because I've got an arsenal of stories to tell just from our last couple of weeks of too much time together.
Like what?
Well, like when I came home from the beach and the power was out, how you were locked inside because you couldn't open the gate and the door because the power went out, and you were like a dog in the pound.
Well, now listen.
Let me out.
What's wrong with that? I don't know. I tell you, I don't know how things run in my house.
Yeah.
Okay.
When we were in New York and the boys came over to order Chinese food and watch the game, and you said to me, "Will you order our food?" And I said, "No, I won't order your food." And the next day I said to you, "Why do you treat me like a servant?" And you said, "I just don't know how."
I had, you know.
It's so sweet. And then when you called me when
job,
I was at the beach because you said that the well had gone dry, and I said, "Really, are you sure that you just didn't leave the faucet on all night?" And you said, "No, I turned off the spigots. The spigots are off," and you yelled at me. And then I said, "Well, go out and check it." And I said, "Which way can you turn it?" And you said, "It's off. I've turned it all the way. I can only turn it counterclockwise." And I said, "Now it's off."
Okay, now listen, let me just give a little background to these three stories that my wife has just told about.
Fair enough.
And I want
when you turn just to get back to the faucet thing,
You were turning it that way all the way?
He turned it on all the way, and it drained the well, and he thought that the pump had broke.
Let me just explain to you a few things. I still want you to look at me as the bravest man on the show.
I'm a stupid Superman. I love you.
No, I am stupid, though. I'll give you that. Okay, when the power went off yesterday, we got a little gate, you know, to keep the legions of fans away from my house, okay? So the power goes off. Well, you can't open up the gate down by the driveway.
Does it have an escape latch on it?
Yes, what it has is it's got this little pin thing.
Yeah. It's got a key.
It's got a key. This little, it's not a key.
It's called a key.
Okay, but it's a little round thing with a little thing coming out of it. It's not a key. And what I did was I went down by the gate to where you manually open it up, and I moved it a couple of times, and nothing happened. And I thought, this is the kind of thing I F up all the time. But I'll go in, I'll use brute force, and I'll break it.
Don't want to do that.
So what I'll do is, I'll just wait for my wife to get home and have her do it. So
that's happened before, too, my darling.
So anyway, she came and she did that. The second thing with ordering the food, frankly, I don't even know what our address is at the place in New York. I really don't know what the street address is. So it was just going to be easier for you to call.
Uh-huh.
But I did.
But she went into the bedroom, and then you bravely made the call yourself.
Yes, that's right, Mike. I did. And third, about the water. She tells me, make sure, you know, even though it's raining cats and dogs, make sure you leave the faucet on. You do the watering outside. So I do as I'm told. I go down. I turn on the faucet, and I get up the next morning, and I go to turn the water on. And now this is the outdoor faucet I'm talking about, the spigot that goes to the sprinklers.
Sure.
I go upstares, I turn on the water, and it's like, nothing's coming out. So I called her up. What's wrong with that? I called her up and
yelled
I said,
at me because I asked you to please go check it, and you yell, I checked it, and it's 6:30 in the morning, and you're yelling at me because you have no water. And then I finally, after getting you to check the breakers all over the house, and I have to walk you through where each breaker is and where the well is and where the water heater is, not that you have to know those things.
Yeah, I was just going to say, why do I have to know that? That's kind of important to me.
Because I could die, and you would be up a creek.
What do you mean, if you die? No, listen, you mean if you died, I would know
where your breaker box is in your house?
No.
Oh.
Well, who cares?
Well, like if a light goes out. I mean, you know, if you're in the house alone.
Frida will fix it.
What if she's not there?
I'm not always home. I was at the beach.
You don't know where your breaker. You know where your breaker box is.
Yes, it's in the garage.
All right.
Is that correct? I'm looking for some verification here. Is that correct?
Are you asking Mike?
No, I'm asking you.
He's asking you.
Yes, my darling.
Yes. Okay. See? So I know that the fuse boxes are in the garage.
Right.
Okay. I know that.
Yeah. And then there was an extra fuse box with the well. There's an extra fuse.
Now that I don't know where that is.
It has a dedicated line, right?
And I still don't even get this whole thing with well water. I don't get it. All I know is that I turn on the faucet and I get water. I don't want to give a. I don't give a rat's ass if it's coming from a well or if it's coming from a water plant somewhere where some guy is just down the street with giant bottles of Evian, just pouring them into a tube.
You just want your water. Right?
I just want my water.
Are you on a well at home? Here at home,
yes.
Gentlemen.
I don't know.
You
don't know whether you're on a well or not.
No.
Yes, my darling. That's why it goes dry. If you had turned the faucet on all night long, and we had been connected to city water or town water, you know, the whole town wouldn't be dry unless you really left it on a long time.
You just get a heck of a bill.
Right.
That's right.
So, listen, I'm not the best around the home, and I've never made myself out to be the handyman around
right,
the
house. But being a handyman doesn't mean you can't be a courageous man.
Very brave. Listen, in all of these instances, I bravely went to my wife and said, would you please order the food? I bravely said, honey, I can't get the water on. What's wrong?
I don't think you need to go to vocational school to learn how to turn the faucet off. I don't think you have to be a handyman to order Chinese food.
All right, listen, the thing with the faucet was, you know, how the hell, the thing outside where our spigot is, where the we hook the hose up to,
right.
the thing that you move, the nozzle, not the nozzle, but the
spigot.
The spigot, the thing that you move around.
The faucet.
It's half busted.
Okay.
It's only half there.
It's got nothing to do with it.
No, yes, it does.
But it's missing a prong. You can turn it easily.
It turns
right.
No. That's not the point.
The point is, when the water, when the well, apparently, as you're telling me, has gone dry, and I've got it all the way to the left, and nothing's happening, and I turn it all the way to the right, and nothing's happening, how am I supposed to know which way is open and which way is closed?
Because you've already drained it. And if you look at it, you can see that it's going in, it's getting tighter when you turn it to the left.
I don't know. All that stuff is beyond me. And to answer
counterclockwise your... closes the faucet, clockwise opens the faucet.
And to answer your question about what I would do if you died?
Yeah.
I imagine the caterers who were there catering the celebration would help me would help me through with everything.
Well, I'll give instructions for
they would help me, you know.
That's when you want to get a Jetsons robot.
Right.
You know what?
Rosie.
I should have had the instructions for the house tattooed on my butt, and then you could during the wake you could have just flipped me over and showed it to the next Mrs. Dondra.
Lefty loosey, righty tighty. Right?
Go.
That's the rule.
Well, yeah, no, not really.
That doesn't work in this case.
It doesn't work because righty with the faucet is opening the faucet. Okay.
Well, see, that's where I made the mistake.
When you're shutting off a faucet, you go counterclockwise, and when you're opening a faucet, you go yes, Rob.
You're turning to the right.
When you're closing the faucet, you
open it up.
You go counterclockwise when you're closing.
No. When you're turning the water on, you turn it to the right.
You turn it to the right when you're turning it off.
You turn it to the right. When you're turning it off.
No, when you're turning it on.
No, wait, hold on. Now I'm totally confused.
When you're outside.
I had it for you. When you're looking at, here's your faucet right here.
Okay, righty-tighty.
All right, so.
Turn it to the right to make the water come out.
Yes.
That's right.
That's correct. And then turn it to the left, which is counterclockwise,
yes,
to shut it off.
That's right.
So you got involved in this and confused me.
Well, you know what? My house is wired or plumbed exactly off.
Mine
too.
No, honey.
Honey is, though.
Honey?
There's no way that you turn it to the left to open the faucet.
Listen, let me have you do a quick experiment. Hold on, Mike. God damn it. This is the proof I need that I was correct.
You were
honey,
correct.
Take the cordless phone right now.
Sugar
please.
Band.
Honey,
darling.
Honey,
turn it tight
honey,
like that.
I'm telling you, on ours,
counterclockwise,
you
shut the water off.
If you turn it to the left, it turns on.
It opens it up.
And when you turn it to the right, it closes it.
Okay.
I'm with Rob. At my house, it would go counterclockwise to turn on the water and clockwise to turn
it
off.
Hold on a second.
Okay,
because Lefty Lucy would be opening the valve because you're loosening the valve. So to the left is turning it on. To the right is turning it off.
He's right.
When I spoke to you on the phone, when I told you to turn it so it looks so it goes into itself, it closed it up. And the
so
water
it goes into it. This is like when we were on a boat.
Counterclockwise. Wait a minute. You might be right.
Mm-hmm.
Counterclockwise
to open it.
Yes. Lefty loosey. So
to open it
is to the left or counterclockwise. Exactly.
He had to do the opposite of what it was to close it.
I'm trying to remember if I'm right about it.
All right, well, I'll go look.
Because I think I might have been wrong all the way.
I'll get the cell phone.
So it's
right
counterclockwise.
No wonder you have a $4,000 water bill.
But are we right about it? Because it is confusing.
Well, my wife, this is what she was yelling at me about mm-hmm. on Saturday when she said, which way did you turn it?
That's why quite often, really, when a faucet's going or when there's a hose going, mm-hmm. you double-check the end of the faucet to make sure it's right. I think everybody does
like
that.
Like to squirt the water out of the
jug. Are you downstairs yet?
Are you there, this old house? I'm walking outside right now.
Okay, great. I already undid the faucet. I mean the hose. So you just have the spigot there.
It's not a problem. I can see it go into it.
You turn it to the left to open it. You turn it to the right to close it. Are we all in agreement?
I'm walking outside.
That just turns it on.
Honey, just turn it and tell me when the water comes out.
As soon as I get there.
And to make matters worse, it can vary. Like in my shower, the hot and cold.
Well, no, that's the difference. Yeah. We're talking about an outdoor
outside
space.
Faucet.
Outside with your hose.
I'm with Rob.
Standard brass faucet.
Okay, mm-hmm. Here we go. Hold on a second. I might be able to save some dignity.
Okay. To the left, counterclockwise, opened it. To the right is closed.
Please do that and let me hear the water.
No.
Counterclockwise opens it,
Robin
clockwise closes.
Robin, you're right, Sugar.
And I was wrong about that.
Counterclockwise.
Well, that's, you know what? And then that's why I effed up and left it up all night.
It's an easy mistake.
You would think if you turn it to the left, you're turning it off.
You know, much as the fact that you have portrayed me as a coward today, I must tell you that it is an easy mistake to make. I will support you on this particular
count. That's why you have to see, that's why I asked you on the phone when you were yelling at me to please, because it's a mistake I've made too, to please go out and check that first before we went through the breaker thing.
Anybody can make that mistake.
You yelled at me.
Well, I yelled at you because I'm positive. I'm thinking, I got the thing, turn to the left means turned off. Turn to the right,
and then if it's, you know, if you have used all the water in the tank, you know, and the well is, you know, you've dried out the well temporarily, you wouldn't have any water coming out, so you wouldn't know which way to do it.
That's why I asked you, and that's why you shouldn't yell at me when I ask you to double check something.
But I'm not with you at all on that mud puddle thing.
Funny. You tell him you saw that around my car. Was that a dangerous situation?
That was a stupid. I saw on the news so many cars that had done that and stalled out.
But my car didn't. The water, you know, even in downtown D.C. on the news, that was pretty incredible stuff.
But my car didn't. Because I am a brave man.
Was the water moving or standing?
It was standing.
Okay.
It was standing.
Okay.
No white cab?
No. I'd like to lie and tell you that it was a raging force of water, but no, it was... No, what are you winking about?
No, I was showing my eye. My eyes get more puffy now.
Okay.
I think the drugs in the eyes are getting more puffy.
All right, sweetie. Love you.
All right. I love S. you, too.
What? What'd
I
you
just
say?
I just said S.
Why?
Because my eyes hurt.
Okay. Sorry.
I thought it was short for stupid.
Too bad. Oh, and you know, with all the stuff I told you about my dad calling us I'm dumb and stuff,
right.
That's what Frida's dad used to call her brothers
right.
when they were growing up, right? Really? Stupid.
Stupid.
Ed, it was short for stupid.
Stupid. Hey, stupid. All right, sweetie.
All right, goodbye, boo-boo.
I love you.
I love you, too.
I love you so much.
Well, thank you.
And, you know, I love even more than my wife.
What?
There is football on. Listen to this. There was football on Saturday night, Sunday night. There's football on tonight.
Right.
There's a game on Thursday night.
Right.
A game on Friday night. A game on Saturday night. A game on Sunday.
Oh, my God.
And a game on next Monday night.
This is preseason football at its finest.
Who cares?
You're in heaven.
And how about those Skins?
Who gives a rat's ass?
Wow.
Well, that's the first preseason game. I mean, it's absolutely meaningless, isn't it?
But they don't suck as bad as our presentation of the game did last night.
We had some problems?
On WJFK.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God, did we have problems.
Really?
Yeah. It was the worst broadcast this station's done in 6 years.
Oh, my God.
It sucked.
All right, boo-boo, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Love you. No, I love her, but God, I think I might love football more.
This is when you get an extra spring in your step this time of year.
Yeah, I mean, even when they're worthless, useless games, when you got, you know, when Bubby Brister is coming into play.
Bubby Brister's still doing it, huh?
Yeah, he's the backup. He's a third string now for Kansas City.
My God.
I watched them all. Christ, I watched Phoenix, one of the Arizona, and Oakland.
There's trouble in Camp Marty this morning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Marty the party.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, remember, lefty loosey, righty tighty,
now,
right?
Charlie, how does it go?
I remember, Joe. Righty tighty, lefty loosey.
Right.
If they came over, your house would be on fire.
All right. Listen, we got a break. I know people are waiting to talk to us. Mike, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling fine. I'm feeling fine. I'm so glad to be alive.
And we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Listen up. That was my skull. I'm so wasted.
The Don and Mike Show. Be a dear and listen to the Don and Mike Show.
We went to the movie yesterday. We went to see the movie The Others.
Oh, good, with the Nicole Kidman. Oh, I wanted to go see that.
It's real good. Now, listen, I know that it's a horror movie. I mean, it's not a horror movie like a...
It's a suspense movie.
Slasher movie, but it's a horror-type mystery movie.
Right.
I wish people... I've always got a problem with people talking in the movies.
Of course.
I always do. But I think when you go to a movie like that, people think that they have more of a license to just talk out loud
right.
and react to the screen than they would in a normal movie.
Really, why?
Well, like, for instance, there's one scene where Nicole Kidman is in a room and she's pulling these covers, these drapes off a bunch of stuff, like off
furniture and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Slip covers, really.
Right. Yeah, slip covers. She's pulling them off a desk and off a hat rack and a coat rack. And when she pulls them off, this has been in the trailer, I'm not giving anything away, she pulls it off one of them and it's like this old dead lady lady who's in there, she goes, hey, hello, my pretty.
Right.
Well, everybody in the theater, of course, goes, whoa. And I'm fine with that.
Right.
Because people go, whoa. But then after that, people are commenting. They're like, I knew that was a lady. That's a dead lady.
Right.
That's a dead lady. No, that's not a dead lady. That was her daughter. Well, no. That's not her daughter. Her daughter's in the other room. I mean,
right.
This is really, really going on. So I think what I'm going to do, the next time I go to a movie, I am going to sneak in a tape recorder.
Right.
And I am actually going to tape the people around me
mm-hmm.
who are talking to give you this once and for all proof that people do talk when I go to the movies.
That's funny. That'll be like Honk for Cash.
But it'll work. It'll work. For instance, now I'm sitting there, right? My son's right next to me. And when we left the theater, I said, what'd you think of the movie? And he said, it was pretty good. And I said, but didn't the people talking behind us drive you crazy? He said, Dad, I didn't hear anybody talking behind
Yeah, you have super hearing when you go into the theaters. You have super deluxe hearing.
I've got the worst hearing in the world. I've got disc jockey hearing.
I'm with you because I get the same feeling. I'm wondering whether it's you and me.
I wear my headphones like at volume 10.
Right.
And I can barely hear anything. I know
but
I don't.
But you like silence in your movies, mm-hmm. and I don't think it's too much to ask for. I like it too.
Right.
I think when those trailers start, damn it, just shut up. Keep your candy quiet. Keep your mouths closed. And it's attention. You want to enjoy the experience with your undivided attention without distraction.
Right. So anyway, the next time I go to the movies, maybe I'll do it this week, just do an experiment. Go to the movies, bring a tape recorder with me, and actually play you what people say.
Sure.
And maybe I will actually confront people
right.
in the theater and say, excuse me, I'll put the microphone in the face. Would you like to say that for the radio audience?
Then you'll find yourself, like, searching for the people to sit in front of. It won't be spontaneous, and then they'll probably be totally quiet.
No. I will just... They gravitate to me.
Well, you seem to have never attended a film where this hasn't happened, and I find
that
difficult
very annoying.
To believe, because it's
very annoying.
When your wife mentions that she goes to these movies and your son, and they don't hear the same thing, I think maybe it's amplified a little
it's
bit.
It's not in my head, Mike. They're talking.
I think of you often when I am in the theater, especially when I take my kids to a movie, and you hear the yak, yak, yak.
Yeah.
And I'm not a real big fan of, even though I have children of my own, I'm not a big fan of taking the infants into nighttime movies. I think that's foolish.
Good.
And that's been happening a lot lately when I've gone to a movie.
There's a 4 o'clock daytime show.
But I think the last movie we went to see was Legally Blonde, and I think there was like a 3 week old, and it's just, and the baby's screaming the whole time.
That's
and, it's, I don't think it's good for the kid, and it's, not good for the people trying to watch the movie.
There was a guy sitting in front of us, and he's a guy about my age, and he had a son a little younger than Bart, but apparently his son must have been mentally challenged because the guy is having to explain every scene in the movie to his kid.
Right.
And he's not leaning over and whispering to him. He's just saying, you see that lady, son? She's dead. She's dead. She's a dead person. She's a ghost. She's lived in this house all along. I mean, I'm not making this up.
Oh, I don't think that they're all that loud and all that stupid, are they?
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go to a movie this week. I'm going to bring a tape recorder. I swear to God I am.
Go to the same theater.
So I will. It always happens at Reston Town Center.
Uh-huh.
That's where I go. Where, incidentally, they also have the slowest. I know I keep getting on this retard thing, but really, I think that the people who sell the concessions at the Reston Town Center theaters are retarded. I don't know how tough it is
mm-hmm.
to get there and just say, hi, we'd like a popcorn and 2 Diet Pepsis.
Right.
But it's like you're asking the guy, what is the theory of relativity?
Mm.
The guy is sitting there, and it takes him a couple of minutes to compute what you want.
Right.
He's got to go out and scoop out. And
the theory of relativity is when you marry your sister.
He can't just scoop out the popcorn in one scoop and fill the bag up. He's got to make 4 or 5 scoops.
Right.
He has to top it off. Then he has to take the scoop thing and get any extra off the top of the bag. It's like it's a piece of art or something.
Don't you wish we could have Elvis screenings? Well, we used to have Elvis screenings, but don't you wish you could go to the movies?
Absolutely.
Maybe a personal headset, too.
Absolutely. So while Bart and I are doing this, while we're going to the movies yesterday, at this point, my wife has gone to pick up Aunt Mildred. And Big Frida,
Rob,
and they are going to go see Tony Bennett last night at Wolf Trap. They're going to a concert to see their favorite Tony Bennett.
San Francisco.
Right. Who's got herpes, incidentally.
Yeah, that's an old story. Yeah.
They didn't like me mentioning that, but it's true. He's got it, and once you've got it, it's never gone.
Yeah. Did you do one set or two sets?
Because I heard two sets is a hassle.
Here's a story that I get when they get home. That, you know, at a Wolf Trap, my wife has to park like a mile away, and you take shuttle buses.
Right.
Okay? So the story that I hear is that my wife leaves her mom and Aunt Mildred, both of them in their 70s, late 70s. She leaves them on a bench, and she says, now, you stay right here. I'm going to walk the mile it takes to go get the car, and then I'm going to come pick you up. Well, apparently, and I'm not sure exactly what happened. I'll call my wife here and find out, but they get antsy. And my mother-in-law goes up to a park policeman.
Okay.
And the first thing that she says to the park policeman is, do you listen to the Don and Mike show?
Oh, my God.
The park policeman says, yeah, I listen to the Don and Mike show. And she says, I am Don's mother-in-law. And my daughter, Frida, I'm sure you hear her on the show.
Hello, I'm Don's mother-in-law, and we would like to be taken into the show on horseback.
So she goes through all of this thing, and apparently what the cop does is he gets on his walkie-talkie.
Right.
And what they do is they stop everybody from leaving Wolf Trap, and they put out an all-out search to find my wife. To find where my wife is.
This is coming out of the show?
Yeah, as people are leaving the Tony Bennett concert last night, and then I guess it's sold out. There's like 20,000 people. The park police shut down. They put up the barricade.
They put an APB out for your wife because your mother-in-law didn't want to wait.
That's right. And then there was more to the story that that Aunt Mildred wandered off or something.
Did she do that?
And I don't know, Mike. I don't. Let me get the story from my Connie here. That I don't know. They lost Aunt Mildred.
There seems to be a woman on the Dulles Access Road.
Please hold. Your call.
They lost Aunt Mildred. And
hello.
Hey, hi, sweetie.
Hi, my pumpkin pie.
Hey, listen. Now I'm up to the part of the weekend where you guys were at the Tony Bennett concert. And
yeah.
And your mom stops the park policeman and tells the park policeman that, you know, she's the mother-in-law of the Don and Mike show. And the park policeman, he's stopping all the traffic so that they can search for you. And
yes.
And Aunt Mildred, is it Aunt Mildred gets lost or your mom gets lost? They get separated?
No, well, I told them to wait at the shuttle stop. Well,
oh, honey,
I went to get the car to bring it to the other little shuttle stop so they wouldn't have to walk. They could run.
Hey, sweetie.
Yes, my darling.
So, now, again, you say to your mom and to Aunt Mildred.
I say, wait here. I'll go get the car. You take the shuttle, and I'll meet you at the little pickup place where the shuttle will drop you off.
Right.
And... yeah, no, I don't need you to help me scream, Mama. Thank you very much. Anyway, so I go off to get the car, and then it seems like the shuttle would be 15 or 20 minutes, so they decide that's too long to wait, and they start walking towards the car, but they got lost en route.
They get lost, so they go up to the park policeman.
So they go to the park police who's directing traffic and get him to stop directing traffic and get him to, on his walkie-talkie, he described my car, so I wouldn't leave without them, so I'd be stopped at the gate if I drove around. And they call the shuttle bus to come get them. And the shuttle bus only sent room for one. So then they had to call another shuttle bus to go get Grandmama. And she stopped and chatted with Officer Mace for quite a while, which I'm sure he was pleased about.
Wonderful.
And told him about your job.
He was helpful and
happy to stand and talk with Grandmama when, oh, say... 2,000 people are trying to get out of Wolf
Trap. If you were at the Tony Bennett show last night and you were wondering how come you couldn't leave, how come they had the roads blocked off?
How come the officer wasn't directing traffic because he was engaged in conversation?
Yeah. The reason is he was talking to my mother-in-law.
Yeah, so she chatted quite a while. It was quite a while before the next shuttle bus could make its way up to get her and bring her down. But finally, we were all reunited.
Great, and, you know, we've never had Aunt Mildred on the show. Would Aunt Mildred just like to pick up the phone and say hello?
Oh. No, I've already dropped her off.
Oh, she's already been dropped off.
Yeah, no, I'm taking Grandma back.
We gave her the Imogene Coco treatment.
Aunt Mildred was on top of the car.
Yeah.
Wrapped in a carpet.
So you dropped her off. Hey, well, listen, let me ask your mom something about why she dropped name.
Okay, hold on a second.
Because, I mean, I'll tell you what, when I did it on Friday night on my way to the stadium, I was
It sounds like she dropped it at the end of the ordeal as opposed to at the beginning.
Hi.
When you dropped...
How are you?
We're doing great. When you dropped the name about the show with a cop, was it at the beginning or at the end?
He came... I went in the middle of the road. I asked him about where the shuttle bus came. If this is the pickup point. Told him my problem. He came over. He walked us over to the curb, and we were standing there, and I explained it to him again. He was in the middle of the street first.
Yeah.
So then, dropped the name of your name.
See, so it was up front, Mike. It was right. The guy walked him over to the curb. And how do you just work that into the conversation, I'm wondering?
I just asked him, and he was a big fan, and he went on from the time you were at Waver.
Oh, that's good.
But how do you bring that up with the guy?
I said, do you ever listen to Don and Mike?
Just said it.
He said he's at a different time, so morning time for him to listen.
Okay, well, I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah, I said, that's my son-in-law, and I told him my trader was driving, and he got on his radio and had them all watch for freedom.
That's great.
Blocked off all the traffic for my mother-in-law.
It's very nice.
Last night.
Just one exit,
which is the main exit, incidentally.
No problem.
So in the event that Frieda had tried to escape,
she
would have been stopped.
Leave my mother-in-law and Aunt Mildred there. The cops would have stopped her immediately.
At either exit, she would have been turned back. She couldn't leave us. She couldn't run away. So I've had enough.
And everybody got collected. Everybody was collected.
Yes, they were.
That's good.
And I got to hear.
Life is what it is, you know.
Got to hear the story. I heard it last night.
Frieda, how was Tony Bennett? How was the show?
Oh, he was great. He was great. His daughter came on and sang.
His daughter?
Yeah.
How's his herpes doing?
His herpes?
Yeah, Tony Bennett's herpes.
He didn't mention it. We didn't chat about that, nor did he.
He's unfazed.
He never brought that up, his genital herpes?
No, he stood the whole time, the whole show. I'm not familiar with it. Perhaps you are and would know the reaction.
I got news for you, Big Frieda. If I've got the herpes, your daughter's got the herpes.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll keep that in mind.
Being as you were just at my house using my toilet.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you got the herpes, too.
Watch out.
Well,
all right. Sound like Elvis, too.
Okay.
All right.
I'll tell the doctor the next trip.
Yeah. All right. Let me talk to my wife, please.
Okay. Here she is. Okay.
I got the creeper crud.
I wish you had been there with us, my darling.
Nothing would have been finer than to be there with you and Aunt Mildred as your mom gets the cops to actually just shut down Wolf Trap. So that they can find your car. All right, sweetie. Love you.
All right. Love you too, boo-boo.
See you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. And as much of a pleasure as it is to come down in the morning and see my mother-in-law at the breakfast table, it's double the pleasure.
Oh, double trouble.
And I mean that, really.
Do they look the same?
Yeah, they do.
Really?
Nothing but great to come down.
Is Mildred younger or older? Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, what?
Same?
Yeah.
Very close. Give or take 10.
Yeah, what's the difference? Right.
Oh, dear me.
You know what I mean.
Well, what do you think? I mean, I know you don't want to offend anybody, but if you were a guessing man, who would
older.
You? Older?
Older, I think. But it's close.
Yes.
Maybe too close to call. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hello.
I'm loving this story, man.
Yeah, I want to give you a little assistance with the theater problem.
Yeah.
My wife and I have the same problem. We hate it when people talk.
Yes.
But most of your modern theaters, they have a system for the hearing impaired where you can get these headphones where you can completely control the volume. You put those on, you can't hear anything anyone's saying. You get the sound as crisp and clear as anything.
Oh, I would love that.
You can just block everybody out and be in your own little world.
I would love.
You really can get headphones?
Yes.
You're like Bob Hope then.
Yeah, right. You might as well be wearing your special shoes into the theater also.
Yeah, but if it's dark, I'd plug them in after the theater goes dark. I just keep it on my lap and kind of do it. Oh, I'd do that in a minute.
Why can't everybody just shut up in the movie?
That'd be better.
Hey, you know, you also don't get the real surround sound effect.
Exactly.
If you don't have yes.
Hello.
Naturally.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey.
Hey, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, I'm calling from California, so I don't know where you're at, but on Friday afternoon when
Whereabouts in California?
Huh?
Whereabouts in California?
Oakdale.
Okay. Right, Oakdale. Just outside of Sacramento.
Yeah, well, south and east.
Yeah,
south
gotcha.
And
east, yeah.
This way, KHTK, when the guy started talking on Friday about the towel or the surgical glove wrapped in a towel, not real tight, that's about all I heard because KHTK started doing some walkover. They started talking over it.
So what do you want me to do about that? I can't control that, sir.
Well, was that like censorship or what?
Probably. I mean, I can't help what a station does if they're running the show on tape. Well, what do you want me to do about it?
How are you enjoying the show today?
just
kidding.
Oh, come on. Now, Mike, now
that was
not
cool.
Fair.
That was cool. I'm sorry.
That
I forgot.
That was not fair. That was not fair because he can't hear the show for another 4 hours. And you know it.
I know that. That's right. We're on tape delay in Sacramento now.
Yes, we are.
But I bet you know what? You're going to enjoy the show today. It's very funny.
That's right. I'm calling from your past, though.
That's right. You're calling from the past.
And I'm going to hear it in the future.
And you'll hear it in the future. You understand the concept of the time machine.
Gotcha.
Time
right.
machine.
Thank you, my friend.
Time machine.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
There we go.
I miss those calls from Sacramento.
So do I.
I miss those calls.
I do, too.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, Don.
Yes, and Mike. Hi.
How you doing, buddy?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Hey, guys, I have a question. I want to talk about the Skins for a second.
Oh, come on, don't make this a real sports show.
Okay, just wanted a real quick question. I think that a lot of it has to do with maybe the coach and...
All right, goodbye.
And if you have those questions, don't bother Don with them. I can handle all sports questions.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I had a question for Don and Mike. I'm a disgruntled D.C. listener.
Why are you disgruntled?
Because they're not here anymore.
Yeah, honey, you're talking to us. We're here right now.
Oh, sorry, Don.
That's okay.
We're broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. today.
Right now, baby.
I'm also a minority listener.
Very good.
That's all right.
Had a question.
Yeah.
What happened to the lineup? I mean, I've been away on vacation. I come back. There's no more G. Gordon.
That's right.
There's no more you guys.
Oh, no, we're here now. We're in the daytime now, honey.
But drive time, what's going on?
Well, we wanted to switch.
Why?
Because we wanted to be heard live in bigger cities than we're heard in.
And we're ready for a switch. You never had a job for... You've been doing the same job for 10 years. You're ready for a switch? We're ready for a switch.
But, I mean, does that have any impact, like, on your dough, like not being drive time anymore?
Honey, we're making more dough.
Oh. Okay. Well, I miss you guys.
Well, you know what? If you can rearrange your schedule, give us a listen in the midday.
I do. Oh, you're on right now.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And, baby, you're calling. Come on. How big are you?
God.
Come on. How big are you?
How dare you?
How dare you?
I'd say like a 14. That's pretty big for me.
Well, that's not that big.
Come on, I'm thinking you look like Professor Clump from the Eddie Murphy movie.
How tall are you?
God forbid, 5'7".
5'7"? Yeah, so that's 14. You're a big boned woman.
Well, I didn't used to be. Now I'm a big fat woman.
I bet you're beautiful.
Come on.
Listen,
man.
You guys keep it up. I miss you guys during drive time, but you're on in my office. I have a new job. I'm in Rockville now, so.
If you really love this, you'd come down and play.
I know. I'll think about it.
Thank you.
Be good.
Right. Okay,
bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye, baby.
My Lord, you are a strapping young woman.
Just 3'14". Come on.
Size 14.
It's fine.
On this show, that counts as petite.
Right.
We got a break.
This is the Don and Mike Show. The Don and Mike Show. Operating with a 7-day delay. The Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, gentlemen.
Hi.
And Rob.
God, I'm an idiot. All right, go ahead.
I was reading in yesterday's parade section of the Washington Post.
Oh, great magazine, that parade.
Yes, there's a question about Jerry Lewis and his Labor Day marathon.
Oh, I think I read that he's taking some kind of medication that's making him more bloated.
Yes. The Michael DeBakey, a longtime friend who prescribed a cortisone drug that causes bloating.
Yeah, there's your steroid right there. That'll pump you up.
Jerry, lady. Hey, lady. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? This is Rudiger calling from Fairfax.
Yes, hi, Rudiger.
How you doing?
Hi, fine.
Hey, that Concert for America the other night. I thought that was absolutely hilarious. The one from New York City?
That was a great show. The one here in D.C., I'm hearing kind of...
Yeah, I didn't see the one in D.C., but the one in New York, I tell you, when they got Mick Jagger out there, He looked like the Crypt Keeper from Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah, kind of looked like Don Imus with a better haircut.
Like an old woman.
You know, you have to know, like, you get a guy like Mick Jagger, a guy like Steven Tyler. You got to... They got to have some kind of special diet or something like that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's a type of rocker. There's a rocker look where
it's
they look...
It's the heroin diet, I think.
Yeah, I think it might be. I know in Aerosmith's case, they supposedly kicked the heroin. But, I mean, I saw a picture of in one of the magazines of Steven Tyler, who really, when you really take a good look at him, you know, not from a distance, not when he's doing, you know, he's just like a lady. You look at him, and they were shooting him on a subway. And, my God, he's a frightening-looking guy.
Bony.
Now, isn't it... You'll pay me to say this, but I want to say the funniest thing of the whole New York concert was Billy Crystal,
right,
who we love goofing on, you know, good luck storming the castle. His joke was funny, and it went over like this. He came out and he announces, hi, everybody, I'm Billy Crystal. We're doing this benefit. As you know, the Emmys have been postponed. I think we might have to postpone the Oscars. And then there's a little bit of silence, and he goes, because no one wants to open the envelope.
Oh, my God.
Now, that's
and
funny.
It didn't go over.
No. I mean,
oh, come on, why not?
I mean, it went over like a lead balloon. It was like they leave him there just standing on stage.
Went over like a lead envelope.
Yeah. Thank you, my friend. The show in D.C. Hold on a second. Where's the... hey, Robbie, where's the Post? You got the Post? They got a better recap than... some of my neighbors went to the show and were telling me how hideous it was. That there was it was supposed to start, the D.C. America show was supposed to start at, I don't know, like 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon. They got started late. There were waits in between every act.
Wow, that's bad.
20 to 30 minute wait. At one point, halfway through the show, John Stamos, Blackie Parrish.
Oh, there you go right there. When you're talking about names like that, you got a problem.
ABC is taping this thing because they're going to turn it into a TV special.
Right.
So at one point, halfway through the show, they brought John Stamos up on stage in the evening's tackiest moment. A voice over the intercom introduced John Stamos for his second onstage appearance and urged the crowd to cheer him as though they had not seen him yet. So
it's totally a slave to the TV tape.
Right.
Exactly.
So they went like, ladies and gentlemen, here's the great American Blackie Parrish. Winnie, marvelous.
Now, why just put on a show, you know, which is spontaneously entertaining when you can stage it?
Right.
Attention. Attention.
Hold on, what's it?
There you go.
Thank you, Rob.
You see that? He comes in right away, right to the microphone.
He loves the microphone.
Attention. All patrons of the DC show. We know you've seen him. We know you think he sucks. He's John Stamos. But for the benefit of ABC TV, when we introduce him, please go crazy like you love him.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, serving America, Blackie Parrish, John Stamos.
Yeah. Yay. Now we're playing with it again.
Yes, we are.
Yay.
Hello. Okay, so let me see. So they faked the thing for John Stamos.
Really ended at like 1 o'clock in the morning?
Later than 1 a.m.
Wow.
Now, keep in mind that part of the deal was that all of the concessions that they sold at RFK Stadium were going to go for the relief effort.
Very good.
So keep in mind that they ran out of food.
Oh, my God.
The concession stands. They ran out of the concession stands at approximately 8 o'clock.
Oh, God.
So they were stuck just selling soda pop.
Like not a hot dog or a hamburger to be found.
Nothing. Let me see. The line for pretzels, the only food available, at 8 o'clock, had 100 people in line.
How ridiculous.
At 7:30.
So typical.
At 7:30, every food stand at the stadium was completely sold out of chow.
I don't get it. They've had concerts there before.
Leaving 30,000 people glumly wandering around looking for something to eat. The line for pretzels, the only food still available, was 100 strong at 8:15. Later, RFK's D.C. Sports and Entertainment Commission sent out for 100 pizzas.
Oh, perfect. My God. How stupid.
Then a frustrated vendor said, it's stupid. sitting behind a counter with nothing to sell except soda. We could be making money. The charity could be making money.
Mm-hmm. That is just ridiculous.
They ran out of food.
A little suspect, too. All donated, right? All donated, correct?
I think so.
Yeah, that, see, now I'm suspicious.
And then they had, what's his name?
Like, we'll donate it, but we'll donate
some. Who's the pedophile? Oh, Michael Jackson, Mr. Pedophile. He of course, is the last act. I also hear by the time Mariah Carey came on at about 11:30,
yeah,
people were just booing her.
Oh,
like,
no.
The poor girl had
like she's not going to have another breakdown, right?
Came out with her blonde hair. People booed her. She sang that stupid hero song she sings. And then Pedophile finally came out and did one song. Michael Jackson did one song, then brought everybody else on stage for a big finale, and then it was like 1:15 in the morning.
And everybody hungry, right. Tired, angry.
Mm-hmm. Good night.
You know, I'd like somebody to investigate that, because, I mean, when they have huge concerts down at RFK, they don't run out of food.
Hello, Tony.
Hey, what's up, Don and Mike?
Tony, hi, you're on the air.
Highlight reel, Richard Gere and Hillary Clinton getting booed to no end.
Yeah, on the Saturday Night Show.
Oh, hysterical.
Hey, man. Now, listen.
Guys, listen, more thing. The end of that show,
yeah.
Cluster F. You hear them trying to do that last bit, last song? Cluster F.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Guys, rock, buzz rules.
Hey, listen, hold on a second there, Tony.
All right, man.
I know why Hillary Clinton would get booed, okay? I mean, I follow that. Why did Richard Gere get booed?
He got booed because he called on, everybody to... you know, to take the hatred out of it, no revenge, and say what he was doing is
Dalai Lama stuff.
Yeah, he was preaching at a time when you don't preach. You don't preach certainly to a room full of firefighters, and police officers who have lost loved ones and coworkers. You just don't do that. And he did it. He did it in a mellow way, but it came through loud and clear that he was preaching, and it wasn't appropriate.
And poor Hillary comes up. You know, all she does is just come on stage and her leg.
How can she win? She can't. She's in a no-win situation. But I hear Bill got a better response.
Yes, he did. Yeah. He kept fine.
Her legs are like Popeye's arms. I mean, she comes out and says, like, elephantitis, Hillary Clinton, and immediately she gets booed like crazy. He comes out, you know, doing his whole stinky pinky thing, and they love him.
Right.
Yes, they do.
They love him. God damn it, they love
him.
That's
interesting. You know, it's really she is just not a popular lady right now. And I think that you know, with recent events, you've gotten people that, Rudy was going to run against her. So, I mean, you've got a lady who was having trouble to start with. She won the election. But now she's got trouble up there.
Hey, Richie.
How you doing, Don and Mike?
Hey, you're on the air, huh?
And hello to you, Buzz.
Hello there.
Right. Got a question. Did you catch the end of the concert with Billy Joel and Elton John singing together?
Yeah, you mean Saturday night?
Saturday night, yeah. Don't you agree they make a lovely couple? who would walk down the aisle and give Elton John away? That's the question I would like to know.
Elton John had on the queerest outfit I've seen since he had...
That's unusual.
Hey, well, you remember, now he's going back to the old days. Remember when he had the queer sequined Donald Duck outfit?
Yeah, right.
Remember when he had the queer sequined Los Angeles Dodgers uniform?
Right, yeah, the big, the wonderful jersey.
He had a queer sequined the firefighter uniform, the cop uniform on.
Buzz?
Yes.
Got weed?
No, all right, get not out here. Wait till I get to New York.
But hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Sometimes the timing of this show amazes me.
Yeah,
it just amazes me. Hello.
Yeah, Don, am I?
Yeah, who's this? Oh, Jim.
Yeah.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, I was at the concert last night, and another thing with this John Stamos thing is when he came out and he did, like, the introduction to the TV show, and, of course, it was halfway through the show, so it was dark out. And then at the end he says, now we want to welcome the Backstreet Boys. And the Backstreet Boys were on like at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The sun was shining as bright as anything. So they're going to go to this nighttime shot with the spotlights and stuff to the Backstreet Boys doing the national anthem.
Now listen,
sunshine.
The people in the audience, weren't they pissed that John Stamos was coming out and cutting this stuff that's obviously bogus?
And is ABC going to run commercials for this?
Oh, yes.
I don't know about that, but he came out like three times. And at the end, you know, he came out and he was going to do the wrap up, I guess, you know, at the end. So he walks out and he says, I want to thank all these artists for being here tonight. It's really great for them to come out and do this. And let's start that over. And he walks.
Oh, you're kidding.
Oh, man, what a moron.
You
are
kidding.
Oh, I'm serious as a heart attack. He just walked back, you know, off camera, and then...
You so don't do that at those kind of things.
I just want to say, this is John Stamos. I want to say, USA! I want to thank all the artists that came out tonight. It really touched my heart. And, oh, crap.
Can we take that again, please?
Yeah, unbelievable. Exactly. That's exactly what happened. And
that is so tacky. Can we take that over again from the top, please?
There was also something with Michael Jackson like that, too, because at the very end, when they finished the, like, the All-Star Review, which, of course, you know, the artists that were, like, on the first complete half of the show, like Aerosmith and Backstreet Boys and James Brown and all, they were not there.
Of course, they all left.
They all left a long time ago, and the only ones that were there were, like, the really, like, the second tier and third tier performers, and the ones that were just on, like, two or three times before.
I read that by the time Michael Jackson went on, a third of the crowd had already gone home. Is that true?
Well, you know, there was a lot of sections in there that were never filled. They kept saying, oh, the sold-out concert. There was hundreds and hundreds of seats open, even on the field level.
That's too bad.
Wow.
But there were enough people there where they ran out of food.
Yeah. Oh, that was great.
Yeah, concert wasn't sold out, but there was enough people there to run out of food.
I would really love to know the details of that.
Everything.
I swear to God, you get a headliner that plays that stadium in D.C. and it's going to the profit. You're not going to run out of food because they're going to sell as much as they can.
You can put the goddamn soccer team in there. The soccer team draws 50,000 people, and you know they don't run out of food.
Yeah, they don't run out of food. But it's not. You know, I'd really love to. I really, really love somebody to investigate. If you're going to do
Rob, I don't think that's the reason.
Oh, my God. So I'd love to really check it out.
The only thing they had left was beer.
Well, that's not a bad one.
But, you know, there was something else also about the TV, with the TV taping thing with Michael Jackson at the end, because when he finished the All-Star Review, he started to walk off stage, you know, saying, thank you, everybody, good night. Oh, and it was so crazy. He kept saying, I love you. I love you. Like that, and that kind of... that. Inflection.
How would that have sounded, Mike?
Oh, it was really made it over.
I love you. I love you. I love you. Let me take that again. Let me do that over again. I'd like to thank Blackie Parrish, John Stamos. I love you, Shamon. Ben, the two of us. I love you.
Exactly what he was doing.
God, all right. Keep talking.
Thank you, my friend. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Don? Mike, Buzz.
Mike Show. Hi.
Man, Michael Jackson was so scary looking last night. I have a 16-year-old daughter who always found him sort of scary on TV, and her thought was, you know, hey, once I see him in person, maybe I'll humanize him. She's scared to death of a guy. He's an alien.
That's funny.
And they had another point where Blackie came out, and he introduced Michael Jackson.
Hey, hold on. I love it. I love that people call him Blackie Parrish instead of calling him John Stamos.
Blackie
came out.
What has he ever really done?
Nothing. Hey, Mike, his stellar work on Full House.
There you go. That's right, Full House.
All right, so Blackie comes out, and what happens?
He comes out in the intro for Michael Jackson. He's like, you know, everybody, the king of pop, here is Michael Jackson. The crowd erupts, and he's like, wait a minute, guys, that was just taped for TV. He won't be out for like another 5 minutes.
Oh my God, that's
They didn't even warn us or anything. They just showed him, and everybody...
Oh, my God, that's awful, isn't it?
So they lie to the audience to get the reaction, then he won't be... Oh, that sucks.
Welcome they didn't even tell us. We sat back down and starved and sobered up for another hour.
Damn, that sucks.
Oh, my God.
It was terrible.
Thanks, Mike.
The most telling number, and, you know, every dollar is appreciated, I'm sure, the Washington, D.C. concert raised $2 million. The New York concert raised $100 million.
Yeah, all right.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Very, very sad. Because
I'm proud to be an American.
Oh, God.
Right here in old D.C.
Wow.
Mm. Hello, Mike.
Skins won.
Hey, what's up, Don and Mike?
Yeah, and we're going to try to get the hero of today's Redskins victory, Brett Conway, on the shore front of the field goal.
Okay.
Thank God he was the hero.
Hello. Hey, Don and Mike.
He almost screwed the pooch when he missed that one field goal.
Right.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, hey.
Hi.
What's up, Don and Mike?
Hey, come on. Who is this, Mike?
Yeah, this is Mike, man. Truck driver.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, man, I was there at 1:30 in the morning, man. I got up at about 4 o'clock and I had to come drive a truck. I was looking at Mariah Carey, right? She should have stayed home, man.
Why?
I felt bad for her. She got up there struggling. She couldn't hit none of her notes. She looked like a past, like it was like she just wanted to be there and be a queen, but she just didn't have nothing in her, man.
That poor crazy broad.
Is it true?
Were people booing her?
Oh, yeah. I thought she was going to have a breakdown there, and Michael hugged her at the end.
And it looked like she needed all the help she could get.
Oh, that's so... Oh,
that's horrible.
Oh, my God.
She wanted to be, like, laid out on the stage because nothing was going right, man. She was getting booed, and she was trying her hardest to sing.
Oh, my God.
Imagine that. You're at a charity thing for America, and you come out on stage, you get booed.
Somebody told me that women that sing like that, like Whitney and Mariah that sing that way, they blow it out, like, really early in their careers, that they really, like, completely... Like, tank the instrument.
I also read that Mariah's having trouble hitting the same note she used to be able to because of the anti-depression medication that she's on now.
And it just keeps getting better.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, listen, you know what they ought to do is poor Mariah's just do what they do with Mike Tyson. Take her off the medication a couple of days before she has to perform.
There you go.
And then turn her loose.
Yeah, then she get on stage and bite off Bette Midler's ear.
Hey, listen, I want to tell you what got the loudest ovation yesterday.
What?
Was the Reds, when they announced that the Redskins actually won the game. That's got the biggest cheer.
Oh, did it really at the concert yesterday?
Yeah, they announced it, that the Redskins had overcome the Carolina Palps.
What if the Redskins game had been an 8 o'clock game last night? Wouldn't that have been special?
Oh, God. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Did you guys see me play drums with the Who?
Who's this, Mike Landis?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Mike.
I was going, who the F are you? It was awesome.
Your hair was different, though, wasn't it, Mike?
Blue eyes. It was incredible. Right now. How you guys doing? I also did the DC show. I emceed it. Did you guys see me there?
Didn't see ya.
Damn it. Me and Tracy Neal did it before Michael Jackson came on. We sang with Michael.
Mike Landis from Fox 5.
Yeah, he had a different hairdo. He was wearing a wig.
Exactly.
All right, goodbye.
Love you guys.
Love you. Bye.
God bless. More to come.
Okay. God bless.
See you later. Goodbye. Who's on the hotline?
That's Mrs. Geronimo.
Oh, it's my my child, Brian. Hi, honey.
Hi, Sugi. I was just going to tell you, did you see poor Mariah Carey, Billy Crystal was emceeing the other show, and he said he had a joke about that. Well, there's something that we can all agree on, all as Christians and Jews and Muslims, and that's that Mariah Carey should never make another movie.
That's some funny stuff.
Wow.
That's good stuff.
Wow.
That's funny.
That movie, Glitter, for anyone that's interested.
All right, sweetie, I love you.
Okay, goodbye. I love you too, sweet pea.
Bye-bye. Oh, and listen, I got news for all the criminals out there in the D.C. area. Be very, very afraid. My wife's on jury duty this week. Be very, very afraid.
She's known as the hanging juror.
The hanging juror, right. Absolutely. Yeah, and I don't know how she got out of it like twice in a row already.
Wow.
Remember that time that Buzz had to go to jury duty?
I could not get out of it to save my life.
And we told him to go in there. The easiest way we told Buzz to get out of jury duty is just like,
right,
when you sit down, say something like, I just made, or,
yeah.
or make some crazy slanderous statement about
you slur every ethnic group in one sentence and they let you go.
It's a fine line between getting tossed off the jury and getting hit with contempt of court charges, you know, so you try to walk that line as delicately as you can.
So Buzz ended up having to go to jury duty and missed a little time from the show. Not a lot, as I recall.
Yeah, a couple days.
But my wife now, is like the second time in a row she's been able to get out of it.
Right.
But finally this time her number's up and
I get you.
She's off to catch the bad guys.
Good. Well, you never know. With the jury duty, you could be sitting on some incredible trial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That'd be too bad if it was a sequestered jury
for like some juries, you know, go for 6 months.
Like the OJ jury.
It's correct.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Try to contain that. Look at that look.
Contain what, Mike?
Nothing.
Contain what?
I didn't say anything.
Hello, Don and Mike show. I'd miss my wife if she was sequestered.
Of course you would.
If she was sequestered, stop it, you.
I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, you'd have the same
reaction.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, here's the phone call. Hold on a second. Hello.
Hello.
No, you're in a totally different situation than I am. If Frida was sequestered, if I was sequestered right now, if Laura was sequestered for 6 months, I'm Mr. Mom. I'd probably be a total closet case.
Yeah, but here's how that would go. Hello.
Hi.
Hold on. I'm doing a little thing here about my wife on jury duty. Hold on a second. Hello.
Hi, Boo Boo.
Hi, sweetie. What are you doing?
I'm on this jury. OJ's in road rage, and I'm going to be sequestered for the next 6 months.
6 months, you say?
Yeah, I'm afraid I won't be around for 6 months.
Oh, Sweetums.
How will you get along without me?
I don't know, but I'll try, honey.
What's that music I hear?
Oh, my God. I got the radio up loud, honey.
All right, well, I'll call you when I can.
Okay. Love you.
Love you, boo-boo.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You never know.
Hey, hello, who is this? Blythe?
Blythe.
Like Blythe, like Blythe Danner?
Yes.
Hi, Blythe.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, we're great.
Were you named after Blythe Danner?
I hope not, no. I don't know.
I like Blythe Danner.
What can we do for you?
Well, it was like 11:45, and we've been waiting for Mariah for like 30 minutes.
Oh, you were at the D.C. show last night?
Yeah, we've been there like 12 hours. She comes on, and she belts out, you know, part of Hero and everything, and then she goes back, and like we wait for 5 minutes, and then she comes out, she starts singing her new song for album. The album's like flat.
Wait. What do you mean?
This motorcycle.
Oh, a Japanese motorcycle.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. She's like on a Suzuki motorcycle.
Right. Well, she's not.
All right. So she's
She's standing there and she's belting out this gay song, and her album is just flashing up on the screen like by my. She's such a cornball. And she's such.
Oh, hold on. Are you telling me that she was like advertising her album?
Yes. And she's got like a Jennifer Lopez outfit. You know, like the two layers over the boobs, and they're like hanging out.
Is this Melissa Etheridge?
No. Wait a minute, hold on.
When Mariah Carey was singing at the concert for the Pentagon victims, they were flashing on the Jumbotron?
Glitter. The record was flashing up on the screen, and it says glitter on it. It just keeps flashing the whole time.
God damn.
Oh, man. Promotion machine.
Having trouble selling those.
Thank you, honey.
Well, wait a minute.
Oh, okay.
Michael Jackson had his boy toy, Macaulay Culkin, up there. At the very end.
Oh, God. His lover.
No.
His lover.
Yeah.
What did they do? Did they make out on stage?
His little gay poodle. I don't know. He was kind of chumming around with Billy Gilman, that little boy.
Oh, I worry for little Billy Gilman.
Oh, my God. And Macaulay Culkin, he looks better than ever.
He looked like he was 13, but he's like 55 now. I don't know.
How old is. 55.
Macaulay Culkin always looks like he's got the anthrax, because they say that when you get the anthrax, you get
this... looks like an AIDS patient.
You get the flu-like symptoms.
You get the red eyes.
Yep.
Yeah. Macaulay Culkin always looked, even when he was in those Home Alone movies, always looked like he was a sick little kid.
Yeah, I mean, hair always looks a little unkempt, and he's, you know, got the deep sunk eyes.
And Michael ran over, and while he was singing his Man in the Mirror song, the steam was blowing up, you know, his clothes are blowing, and his nose looked like it was just going to blow away.
Oh, God.
Macaulay Culkin has the Bob Hope symptoms.
Yes, he does.
The red eyes.
Yeah, the red eyes.
Little bunny eyes.
Yeah, bad news.
The pink guy. Hey, Mary Jane.
Hi.
Is this a call for Buzz?
What?
It's Mary Jane.
I've been expecting your call.
It's code.
Hi, Mary Jane.
Hi.
Hi.
Am I on the air?
Yeah.
Hey, I work at the Capitol View Restaurant, RFK Stadium.
Yes.
And everybody's ragging on we ran out of food.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you guys know that we had about 75 employees who worked 5 days without pay, donated all of our money to the fund? The president of the company, Rob Saldivar, he bought all the products. We donated everything.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question, and this is a legitimate question. When you have a major concert at RFK, you don't run out of food.
Well, you know what?
I mean, did you run out of food because there was only a certain amount that was going to be donated?
No, we probably had 4,000 hamburgers to start. We went back out and bought like 5,000 more.
Hey,
rudest people come up to us.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to tell you something. I just realized something. One of the reasons, really, I've been saying, hey, maybe there's some conspiracy, but now I'm realizing, well, for a normal concert, you're talking about 3 hours, three and a half hours.
Exactly. No, we planned ahead. We all put in a good five.
What about, like, when Ozfest comes or the HF Festival? Those are all-day concerts.
But they weren't expecting this one to last as long as it did.
We tripled what we did for the HFS, which was 2 days long. We tripled it. And then Michelle Bloxton, who is the vice president of our company, went out, restocked every single thing we had, doubled it, and we still ran out. And we had the nastiest, rudest people come up into our restaurant just talking nasty stuff to everybody. And we all donated our time and money, and every bit of the money that we made went straight to charity. And we all worked our butts off.
Well, how come you ran out of food?
How can we run out of food?
Yeah.
You know, well, maybe everybody's just being pigs.
Hey, now
that's a great answer.
That's a can-do attitude, honey.
No, I mean, we had tons of food.
What about the other vendors? Did they come up short?
I think that they did. But, you know, we had like four times what we normally have. We
busted our ass. We had food. We had people running back out to get food.
Well, you deserve
everybody
a medal.
Complaining about the prices.
You deserve a medal, honey, for putting up with that.
Well, we do, and I mean, we all work.
Yeah, you're a real hero. Forget the firefighters and the cops. You're the real hero.
Oh,
what?
Whatever.
Whatever.
That's kind of cheesy, but I think you should give some people credit because we worked our butts off for free for everybody.
Oh, for free.
Well, that's not why people do it, to get credit, right?
We don't, but we donated all of our money.
You're calling asking for credit.
And all we're getting is cutdowns. Everybody's putting us down. I read the Washington Post this morning, which was horrible.
And you've said nasty things about the people who were at the concert.
Well, I'm not saying nasty things about them. I just think that you guys are making such a big deal about it that that's crazy.
Well,
I mean,
making a big deal about what?
We left our asses to help. Did you guys go out and do anything? Did you donate any food?
Yes. Donate food for the concert?
No. Making a big deal about what? What are we making a big deal
about? How we all ran out of food and how, you know, that's so horrible. Mm-hmm. We did our best.
Well, the only regret I have, I mean, really, if all the proceeds were going to go to a good cause, you know, and they were all for charity. I am disappointed that you all ran out of food because you could have made a lot more money.
Well, we wanted to, and we kept going back out for food. We were supposed to stop serving.
Well, you didn't do it enough.
Listen, we were supposed to stop serving food and beverages at 7 o'clock. We stopped serving food and beverages at 11 o'clock.
This call tells me that America is getting back to normal.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. That's, you guys are being unfair.
That selfless feeling that we all felt on September
12th. We went over 3 hours. We were told to stop serving
food. It's officially gone now.
Listen to this. We went till 11.
This crazy bitch wants a medal.
More hours. That concert was supposed to end at 9 o'clock.
By any chance, do you work at Concourse C?
Actually, I do, because I saw you there when I was there.
Hey. You're bitter.
Well,
you don't have any concept.
How you guys are
no, you don't have any concept of the spirit of it. Then you did your part and feel good about it.
Well, why are you guys ragging about it when everybody was out there donating their time and effort and money and energy?
Right.
And all we are trying to do is help people.
I just want to say something. The worst thing at the stadium yesterday at RFK was not really the food. It was the smell of rancid fish.
Well, that may have probably come from you.
Yeah. You're a mean, mean person, aren't you?
Well, you're putting me into that situation because you're being nasty to me.
You put down all the people. You said that everybody was being rotten. You're making these, painted with these, you know, huge comments about everybody that was at the concert.
People are at a concert for charity and they're
exactly
pissed off. You ran out.
We were doing our best. We went 3 hours over.
Well, your
time.
Best wasn't good enough, Missy.
Listen to this. How self-absorbed can you be?
You're crazy.
We were there for 3 hours. We donated. Please kiss my ass. People have done so much more than that.
You know what? We gave our best, and if that's not good enough, shame on you guys.
It wasn't good enough.
Well, that's crazy. Then I'd like to see you go out.
A lot of stuff is crazy.
Well, we worked our butts off, and we donated all of the money that we made to this fund.
And you could have donated a lot more.
To help.
Well, you should have donated more time and more food.
We did. We donated plenty of time. How much time and energy have you donated?
We've donated a lot of time, energy, and money.
Okay, well, we have too, and we're just a small company.
No, we're just a couple of disc jockeys.
Nobody singled you out, but you talk as though they did. Nobody singled you out.
You guys are singling out the how we ran out of food.
You're the one that called and, like, mentioned your president, plugged your president and all the other people to get their names on the radio. And you're the one that did that.
No.
We didn't do that.
You did, too.
We didn't even know who the food company was.
Well, that's fine. I mean, I think you guys are being unfair because we worked our butts off and
we were going to help. Mary Jane, here's what I'm hearing from you, really. And I'll give you this, that maybe you got a valid point. But all I'm hearing is, really, some crazy lady calling up who wants, what you want is the attention that you donated some time and your company donated some stuff, right?
Just some stuff. We busted our butts to help. I mean, we knew.
Have you ever heard the selfless thought that you do something?
Exactly.
But you do it.
Taking the selfless things that we've done and turning it into
Wait, let me tell you something. What we were talking about was an event that had a lot of problems and that did not come off as well as another event held in another city.
Exactly. But did they make money? Isn't that the whole point, that we contributed something? Everybody at that stadium
and I
worked
think that
so
probably,
hard and so long. We had that stadium shut down for 2 weeks.
Hold on a second. One of the things that we said was that they, you know, that's terrific that they made money.
Yes.
What we're saying is, as well as people being frustrated that we're there, that I'm kind of bummed out that more money couldn't have been made because of what happened since all the proceeds were going to
charity.
I wish that it had been done better. And I know you said you did your best, and that's great, but I wish that
you... You know, this was a last-minute concert. We...
Well, so were all the concerts
well,
for this.
Well, you know what? This is
maybe why are you taking this so
area.
Personally? Why are you taking this so personally?
Because you guys are attacking the people who ran out of food. You know, and I just want you to know how much trouble we went through.
Again, when is it going to stop being about you?
It's not about me until you start talking about how... nasty it is that we ran out of food. Unbelievable. Well, you know what?
It is unbelievable.
Well, I think you guys are being selfish and you're just trying to put anybody down. And I think
we
should be
selfish?
Thankful and grateful for all the money that RFK raised for this event because
I am
every person
for,
in RFK worked
I am
their
grateful
butts
for
off.
Everybody that donated money to
well, then
for,
stop
for
focusing on the negative and say, hey, guys, good job. Thank
you, know,
you.
Maybe the concert should have been at another time of the month. You know, maybe this wasn't the best time of the month for the concert.
Well, maybe not. But
you got what I'm saying?
That's why you're getting the wrath from me today.
Talking about everything, I'm glad everybody donated money. I think it's terrific.
Dan.
And I wish it's, I think it's wonderful.
We got a break. Hey, Dan.
Stupid sea, get off the radio, you selfish.
Selfish.
God. Damn it!
I know, Dan.
God.
I know, Dan. All right, thanks, Dan.
Stop!
Okay.
Stop! Please!
All right, she's gone, Dan. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Thank you, my friend.
Oh,
we got a break. And let's all take a moment to thank the lady there that called and did so much.
Thanks to everybody that put their donated their time.
Good job.
Good job, everybody.
3 hours. I was there.
Sorry we're complaining.
I was there. What have you done? Sorry, no more food. Out of food. How come you only start out with 4,000 hamburgers? Now that I'm thinking about it. You got a stadium that seats 60,000 people. You're starting out with 4,000 hamburgers?
That's enough for everyone to have, like, one bite of a hamburger, and then everyone will be fine.
Christ, when Rob and Kerry came over for dinner, we had 4,000 hamburgers.
And you still had to go out for more.
We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Badges. We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
The Don and Mike Show. Reluctantly, here's Don and Mike.
Now, Mike, what happened with you and the cops this week?
Yeah. All right, nothing happened to me. But I have to tell you that there's been a lot of activity in my neighborhood. You know, you were talking about deer last week and Bart hitting a deer.
Right.
Where I live, you know, out in the boonies, is just inundated with deer. And, you know, everybody out where I live, it's kind of rural, but it is a community. And you've got a lot of, we've discovered poachers that are coming onto people's property and they're hunting for deer. So, being that I am a lofty appointed official, In my neighborhood.
Your homeowners association?
I became aware of one of my neighbors sent out an email about getting a neighborhood watch together and getting people to come out and do patrols and then confront these hunters. And I thought that was a bad idea because I think you should really have law enforcement do that. So I fire off this email that says, you know, hey, why don't you let me contact the authorities and do that? And then, you know, he really paid attention to me and just like went full bore with it and went ahead anyway. And you know, we had a meeting about it with the Board of Governors and stuff and trying to get this thing set up.
That's so funny. I remember when we lived in a thing where we had like the Homeowners Association.
Right.
If you wanted to paint the front door of your house, you have to get your neighbor's permission.
Stupid. That's any neighborhood you live in.
Yeah.
You have to do that nowadays.
Dumb. And I think you're right because
well, we were just,
one thing you don't want to do is on your own go up to some drunk hunter
right.
who's got a gun in his hand.
You don't want to confront a drunk, especially if he's hunting illegally, because if he's doing that, he's probably not all that shaken up by that. But the reason we had the meeting was to say, what could we do, like to put stuff on the on property, just to, you know, signs and things like that.
They don't hunt on my house.
My feeling was like, if a bunch of neighbors want to get together and do that, it's certainly not my responsibility to find out whether that's right or wrong. I just said, be careful. And they went ahead, and apparently they have identified some of these people that are you know, pulling up in trucks and they have guns and stuff like that. So it there's a nervous atmosphere around this neighborhood, and I took one of the signs and I put a sign out front. I haven't gotten the other street done yet, and it's just, I guess, because of these neighborhood watches going on, I don't know all the people that are involved in it, but the neighborhood is now, several people are on a real heightened state of alert. So last night I got the band over on Sunday. They came over most Sunday afternoons, and we're, you know, we decided that we were not in the mood to do anything, so we were just going to kind of hang out and just have a few adult beverages, right?
Get drunk with your band.
So then we play, and then of course we have a couple of adult beverages, and then it's like, who wants to play something right now? And then we go in and we do that. Very short, very brief period of time, like maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours tops. So they all left, and they were long gone. And I'm sitting there and watching TV, and I hear the doorbell ring. And, you know, it's an odd time for the doorbell to ring any time at my house, but it's weird. And I look and I see the long...
What time is it?
Probably about 9:15, something like that. Maybe later, maybe early. I really wasn't even paying. And I'm like, whoa, what's the deal? So Laura just put the kids down, and I was downstairs, and I see the long blue arm of the law standing out on my patio. And I'm like, well, let me go out and, you know... find out what's going on. So I see this officer, and there's an older officer and a younger officer, and the younger officer is the one that's got, you know, he's got the crew cut and everything. It's kind of an intimidating press. I always feel this way about the law enforcement. I'm more nervous with the younger guys than I am with the older guys.
The young guys are the cowboys.
The young guys, you know, are just kind of very, very authoritative. And he said, did you have a function here this evening, sir? And I'm like, I said, I think he might have mentioned band or something. A couple of people said they were in your band. Can you give us the names of the people that are? And all of a sudden he said, can he give us the names of the people in the band? And so, you know, I know all the names of the guys in my band, but I'm suddenly put into that, you know, nervous feeling. And I also had felt a little bit where
we've arrested a man identified as Wendell Hall.
God, that's what I thought too. And I was saying, no, Wendell, I swear to God, was completely teetotaling last night. The rest of us weren't. And so he says, we saw two cars pulled over. They were reported by the neighbors as being suspicious vehicles in the neighborhood. I'm like, oh, God. And can you give us the names? And he says, can you give us the names of the people that are in your band? So I go down and I'm talking like this a little bit because I was a little relaxed still at that particular time.
So you're drunk when the cops arrive.
Drunk is it's just a broad overstatement.
Okay.
I had an adult beverage or two.
You're buzzed.
And just, yeah, still buzzed, but I think the guys had left like almost an hour since the guys left. So we found two suspicious vehicles. This one gentleman claimed that his cell phone wasn't working and he was using the other person's cell phone. So I said, you know, that sounds a little weird to me anyway, but I mean, that's what he said. That's what he said. So I give him down the list of names, and I get him. He goes, yep, they're on the list. Okay, we were just checking out. And then I went into the whole spiel about, hey, I hope, you know, I know you guys are getting a lot of calls for hunters out here. I hope you understand that, you know, we don't want to call you out on wild goose chases and stuff, but, you know, the neighbors are concerned, blah, blah, blah. I immediately throw in the fact that I'm president of the Homeowners Association. I always like to do that. But in the meantime, you know, I do the thing that everybody does with cops, where you go into this Boy Scout routine where you just want to be, hi. And then Laura comes to the door because she's curious and she wants to know what's going on. And then, so I'm throwing everything at him. I'm throwing the neighborhood homeowners association thing that I will always get to the show. But I drop my name with law enforcement officials as soon as, you know, the opportunity presents itself. I said, well, I'm just always concerned. You know, you never want to. And of course, I do that radio show. And I hope that I'm pronouncing my S's and T's, even though I'm standing on the front porch of my own home. And so he says, okay. That's fine. They checked out. We sent them along anyway. We just wanted to make sure that they really were, you know, who they said they were, and they had mentioned your name. thanks, guys. But I guess if they said, what are you doing in a strange neighborhood, they have to explain whose house they're at, right? So he said, we sent them on their way. There's no problem, Mr. Mayor. Thank you very much. We really appreciate that. And I'm like, okay, thank you. And everything's fine. I've gone over the whole poaching thing in the neighborhood and how, you know, I hope it's not a wild goose chase. My radio show. And then one of the guys says, yeah, I've listened to you. I listened to you. You know, I used to listen to you all the time. Yada, yada. They're just walking away, and he looks back and he says, by the way, we did perform a field sobriety test on these gentlemen because there was a smell of alcohol in the car. And I'm like,
oh God.
And
damn.
I said, and at moments I said, there's never any alcohol served at this house, officer.
Never mind, you're drunk.
There's never any alcohol. And as soon as I said that, the older cop, you know, who really was, you know, was the least intense, he turns around to me and goes, yeah, right. And they were on their merry way. The finest. And, you know, the whole thing with cops now, it's just, I feel this, love for these guys. And you don't want to, but I still do the goody two-shoes. So, you know, I got to never any alcohol. Okay, and they passed it, huh? Okay, very good.
Yeah. You might want to recheck that equipment.
I know. I think that they were fine. I think they were fine. You know, really, when it's my house, I mean, I wouldn't have passed it.
I know.
But I was in my own house, you see. Oh, God.
You can be drunk in your house.
Sure. Unless you're, you're standing on your front porch going, I just hate everybody in the whole world. But the hunters are all like,
Mike, I got a poacher on the phone for you.
Okay, very good.
Richard.
Hello.
Hey, Richard. Don't hide from your feelings.
No, I'm not a poacher. I was calling in about the poacher.
No. Calling in about poacher. I guess, obviously, these guys, I haven't seen them. I've heard the gunfire, and I know it's not like, you're not supposed to be shooting guns now this time of year, right? It's bow season. Is that what they say?
Well, actually, I think the state of Maryland is muzzleloader. And
that incidentally means you can only hunt guys named Bo.
That's what the guy said to me last night. He said, it's muzzleloader. I said, what is this, some ye old Revolutionary War weapon that you can use?
You can hunt Bo Brummel. You can hunt Bo Bridges.
Bo Derek.
Bo Derek.
Bo Diddley. Bo Derek.
Bo Jackson.
Yeah. Well,
Bo Hopkins.
Good
many good Burt Reynolds movies.
Yeah.
Bo Donaldson. Did you have that one?
No. Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods. You're king of the bows.
King of the bows.
Wow. King of the bows, Mike.
What is this? He said that to me, something like white powder muzzle loader. What is you walk into the woods with like a revolutionary outfit on and shoot them? What is the deal?
Actually, it's black powder. And
black powder.
It's a muzzle loader gun. Instead of having a bullet encased with a cartridge.
White powder is another crime.
You put the pieces in one at a time through the end of the barrel.
Well, we heard some shots yesterday, and everybody's freaked out.
All right, Mike, joining us was one of the cops named, first name Grant.
I will only be able to identify him as the guy with the mustache and the young guy with the short haircut.
Hello?
Hello?
You got me! You got me!
I got
me all the way. All the way. You really thought this is one of the cops?
Yeah, the way you set it up that time. You know me, I'm the heat of the moment. Hello, officer.
No, it's not the officer.
I hope everything's in control, officer.
No, hey, Don.
Yes, Tom.
What? I saw you yesterday.
I know I saw you too, Tom.
Uh-huh. Hey, Mike.
I saw you
Hi,
too.
Tom.
Where did you go after you, you went out the door, and you came back in and you went down the hall? Where did you go after that?
I had to go back to the Redskins broadcast booth. You see, let me explain something
Where
to you.
Go
I,
after
know,
that,
I know a lot of you are wondering, why the Redskins, the Washington Redskins, our nation's capital team, why they have one of the worst records in the league at 1-5. And I say to you that it starts at the top.
Right.
With management. You've got to hire good people. And yesterday when I arrived at the stadium early to oversee the broadcast, I took the elevator up to the club seats.
Club level.
These are where we have our season tickets.
Right.
They're goddamn expensive and certainly not worth the money this year. And this is where, generally speaking, with the people, this is where they got a lot of money to spend, the people that are in the gold seats, although they're certainly nowhere near the bigwigs that are up in the skybox.
Right.
Okay? But, like, they got waiter service at your seat, and it's very nice, very fancy. This is generally where your upscale Redskin fan goes to watch the game. Well, as you get off the escalator... someone who's really using their noodle at the stadium
escalator
has decided that right as you get off the escalator, You're going to be greeted at the club level where you're paying $8,000 a year for a seat for a goddamn football team.
You're greeted by this man,
yes.
Correct, who's about to roar for us?
Tom Gavin. I ask you not. He is sitting at a table. He is wearing a Redskins staff shirt. And, Tom, exactly what do the Redskins have you selling on the club level?
I think he got disconnected.
Tom?
He accidentally hung up, I think.
You know, how many times do we actually interview Tom? And the one time he
I don't know what he does. All I know
he got bored. He lost total interest in what you were saying.
Doesn't he sell programs?
No. They've got him upstairs. As you get up the escalator to the club level, I think he might be one of the dudes signing people up, like, for Redskins credit cards.
Oh, no.
You know, if you want a credit card with the Redskins logo
on it. Well, that's basically just a stack of applications and him with a pen, right?
Yeah, but still, either way, I mean, you know, what they sell this as the game day experience, be a club seat holder.
Didn't we demonstrate that if you're buying a program from Tom, you have to have exact change?
Yeah, that one day we asked him to like, break a 20 for us on the air.
We should revisit that today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I get off the escalator. Now, this is, keep in mind, this is, you know, 3 hours before the game.
Hey, Tom, call back.
There's nobody there. I get off the escalator, and first thing I hear is, hey, Don, buddy.
Oh, no.
Don, buddy.
Roar! Oh, my God.
They promoted him.
Hi, Tom. How you doing? Hey, I'm working on the club level.
I see that.
Hi, Tom. I'll come back. And oh, we got him back again? Okay, hold on. Here he is. Hi, Tom.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Tom. Exactly what is your job at the Redskins Stadium on game day?
Selling programs.
Oh, they got you guys are right. So you still sell programs just from behind that desk?
Yes.
Do you make change?
Yes.
All right, how much is a program?
$5.
$5. All right, how much change do you give back if somebody gives you $2.50?
No. Watch it.
Go on.
Not $2.55.
Tom?
Tom, are you there?
He's done it again.
Okay.
Yeah.
No? Tom, what's happening? Is somebody trying to call you?
No.
All right, Tom, Mike had a valid question.
All right, you say programs are $5?
Yeah.
How much change do you give back if somebody gives you $20?
$15.
Let's say I want 10 programs. How much is that?
Tom?
10 programs?
Yeah.
$25.
Exactly.
Perfect. All right, now let's say I come up and I say I want 2 programs and I give you $7. How much money do you give me back?
$7?
Yeah. How much change do I get?
You don't get none back. I mean, you don't. They're $5 a piece.
Yeah, why would you give him $7?
Let me put you on hold.
That's very
good. You got to put it on hold.
Someone else is buying a program.
See what it is. If it's $5 and there's no, it's not $5.25 or something.
All right, well, how much more would I owe you then?
You owe me about $3 more.
That's right.
There's the profit.
Okay, there you go.
Tom, what if I bought 5 programs?
How much?
$15.
How much?
$15.
Right. That's and I give you $50. How much change do I get?
$45.
Right.
He's got that.
He does.
Is it any wonder the Redskins are one of the most profitable franchises in the league with this guy selling programs on a club level?
Tom, do you get to watch the game after that?
I watch it from the guest services. They got like a little TV there.
Oh, okay.
Beautiful. All right. Let's say I want to buy 6 programs. And I give you $20. How much do I get back? Tom?
It's not.
Tom, is someone trying to call you?
Let me see. Let me put you on hold.
Okay. Oh, I'd love to know who's
funny like... concept that Tom has call waiting.
I bet it's Grossman.
You think it's...
Yeah, because Grossman's like re-obsessed with the show now.
Ain't nobody there.
Who's calling you, Tom?
I don't know who it is. It's somebody. Right. I don't know who it is.
So listen, I want to buy 6 programs. I give you $20. How much do I get back?
Yep. Let's see. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. You get $5 back.
Perfect.
Was that Mr. Snyder trying to call you?
No.
Have you met Dan Snyder?
No.
Have you met Marty Schottenheimer?
Nope.
Have you met any famous Redskins?
One of the old Redskins.
Who's that?
Sonny Jurgensen.
You met Sonny?
Yeah.
Ah, Tom.
What did you say to Sonny?
How are you?
How you doing?
Tom... You keep doing a great job selling those programs. Come on,
Tom.
Oh, you're killing me.
Okay. Chew on my cigar, Tom.
You're killing me.
Okay.
All right, Tom. Good seeing you yesterday.
Hey, I'll see you guys on Friday.
Yeah, Friday. Tom's coming in to review movies with Charlie Stockwell.
Are you
yeah.
excited about that?
Yes, I am.
Are you excited enough to clap your hands and do that little crazy laugh that you do?
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Yes, he's got to be motivated.
He's got to be when he does that.
All right, goodbye, Tom.
Hey, where's what's his name?
Who?
My buddy. My buddy,
Your buddy who?
Roy Hill?
No.
Who is it?
Andy Rice?
No.
Why do we spend so much...
Charlie Stuen Sablak?
Yeah, where's Charlie?
Why do we spend so much time with this?
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Charlie.
Hi, Tom.
God damn it.
La, la, la.
All right. Bye, Tom. Bye.
yeah.
They have him up on the club level at Redskins Stadium.
He's all right.
Do you know what? I had to just say, I know that I had a little idea that, you know, when we have him sit, depending on how it goes when he comes in and reviews movies,
yeah.
I think he could, we don't, you know, the one thing we've never had on this show is a restaurant critic, a fine dining critic. If we popped for the for the meals, Tom could go to the finest restaurants in Washington.
Let's see how the movie thing works
okay.
out.
Don?
Yeah.
Where's my what do you call it? My T-shirt from the Super Bowl.
I remember you said you were going to get Tom up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. I'll get you one, Tom.
Okay.
I'll get you a Yankee shirt tonight.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Get your programs $5 each. Or 10 for $15.
Fantastic.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Hi, Don and Mike. Mike, I'm sorry to hear about your run-in with the law this week.
Really wasn't a run-in, sir. I was just answering some questions.
But
showing my papers.
The real reason I called is I got a bet for Don.
What's that?
I can beat you in NBA 2K1, and I will put up $1,200 of my money if I lose.
You know what? I am not as proficient at NBA 2K1 as I am at the NFL games.
Then I will play you in NFL 2K.
Okay, that's great. Come on over. I'll see you. Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike. How am I supposed to take these guys up on their challenges to play video games for money?
It's called cash on the barrelhead. They have to walk in with a stack of hundreds.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Hey, it's John from New York.
Hi, John. Hi.
Huh?
What?
Yeah,
what?
I was at the thing last night for the farm and everything.
You mean on Saturday night?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. And Hillary was on there for like half a minute or 25 seconds or whatever.
Half a minute.
Booed her off. All the firemen and police and booed her off. Only Don and Mike knew about it.
Yeah, we know. Thank you, John.
All right. Can I talk to him?
Bye-bye.
Bye, John.
Maybe next time.
Bye, John.
I tell you, she wants your support.
We got a break. There might be a spot for that guy selling programs at Giant Stadium tonight. As a matter of
fact. Roar!
Who's this, Diego?
Hey, what's up, Don and Mike? It's Diego the Hookah King.
Hi, Diego.
Hey, you guys, this Tom stuff is too funny, man. Come on, Tom is funny. I met him the other night. Now I have the mental image to go with that beautiful laugh.
You know, I don't smoke marijuana, but I'll tell you right now, I find Tom Gavin hysterical. I truly do.
And as do I, but I actually do smoke marijuana every day. And it's only the kind, but it gets me through. And damn, Tom does it for me, too.
Don't smoke and drive.
All right. Thank you, Diego.
Thanks, buddy.
See you. Bye-bye. We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Remember what your old pal Bozo always says, just keep laughing.
The Don and Mike Show. The comedy stars of the Alan Line One Radio Funhouse, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Joined in the studio by our favorite, you know him as the newsmaker of the week every week on the Don and Mike Show. Here is Timmy Obibene, the Nigerian nightmare. Howdy, Timmy.
Hi, Captain.
Hi. Now, we missed you last week. Where were you last week for the Newsmaker Hotline?
Oh, I was just hanging out in D.C.
There you go.
That's what Timmy does. He hangs out, usually with beautiful ladies on his arm.
Always. Chilling.
How many white girls you banged last week?
Oh, none.
None? Off week.
Oh, Captain.
My goodness.
How many women, period, did you bang last week?
Zero.
Are you a one-woman man now, Timmy?
I've always been, man.
Oh, all
right. You know what? We're not going to get the truth because his current girlfriends each think that they're the only one.
Yeah, and they're in number probably 15 to 20.
So here's the... Timmy understood because, you know, what Timmy does is he'll go to each of them and go... You are the only girl in my life.
I just think you're so special. That's why you are the one for me. You're the one that I think is the best. So I know that you might have seen me with another girl, but you are really the one for me. And then the next night he'll say that whole thing to a different girl.
I want to say... You are the best white woman I've ever been with.
Oh, this is another one. You two haven't met.
And then sometimes, at least it's been my experience, just observing Timmy, you know, he'll introduce them, and then they'll both go home with him.
Yeah, I mean, that's the life of Timmy O'Bibany.
It's not just white women.
There you go. Not just white women.
Thank you for clarifying that, Timmy.
All women, although I've seen Timmy primarily with white women.
No, but I occasionally will go for the soul sister.
Not true.
Not true.
You're lying.
You ever had an Oriental chick?
No, I have not.
Ah.
I haven't had the privilege.
So here's the deal. Here's why Timmy is here today. Timmy makes the call. If there's a call that you just, for whatever reason, you don't have the guts to make yourself, Timmy O'Bibany, I think you'll find, you can tell he's very personable. We love the guy. And Tim will make the call for you.
Right.
So let's see what we got doing here. Let's see if we can make this happen with the stupid FCC phone rules and everything. Well, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, Don Mike.
Hi there. Say hi to Timmy, please.
Timmy.
How you doing, Ryan?
Good.
All right, Ryan, what's the call that you can't make yourself that you want Timmy to make?
Well, I want Timmy to call my boss. I work for a courier company, and I was supposed to get a $500 bonus after 6 months, and it's been 7 months now. I ain't get it yet.
Uh-oh. All right, that's a good one. All right, so what we're going
to
do is...
I think he's not in the office. I need to give you his cell phone number.
Oh, all right, hold on. Let me put you on hold for just a second.
All right.
Hold on, Rob, if you will pick up line number one. Line number one. Okay, meanwhile, this will give us all time to write our flashcards for Timmy, keeping in mind is we're going to be calling this gentleman's boss. All right, you got the number there, Robbie?
Very good.
Hold on. All right, Rob's got the number. All right, here we go with the call. And what's your boss's name? Oh, it's Mike? Oh, hold on. I lost him here.
Mike.
Ryan, your boss's name is Mike?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And your name is Ryan?
Yes.
Okay. Rob is calling the cell now. Have any luck?
For Mike? Hi, Mike. This is Rob from the Don and Mike Show. I'm calling on behalf of your employer, Ryan. Can you come on the air with us for a moment?
Ryan, yes. Let's talk to you.
Ryan would like to speak to you. When you hear the next voices, you'll be on the air with us.
Ready to go. Okay, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Now don't forget, start with the real thing about... now, Ryan, the deal is what? That you were supposed to get a raise at 6 months, and at 7 months you haven't gotten it?
That's right.
Okay, here we go. Go ahead. Timmy, you're on the air.
Hello, Mike.
Yes?
Hey, how are you?
Not bad.
Good, good, good. I'm calling on behalf of your employee, Ryan.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, you were supposed to give him a bonus, a $500 bonus about 6 months ago, and you have not done that, and I'm calling on his behalf. Hello?
You're right? Calling on his behalf?
Well, you better pay him his money, you cheap hump. Come on. Pay the dude his money, man.
Okay. Our bonus is a good faith bonus, and it depends, and it's dependent on driver reliability.
Come on, right?
Yeah, it depends on the driver's reliability, and Ryan hasn't been 100% reliable.
Really? Well, Ryan says you're a faggot. He says you're a faggot, yes.
He says I'm a faggot?
Yeah, man.
Tell him when I see him, I'm going to knock him out.
Come on, Mike. People like you make me want to vomit, man.
I know. Tell him when I see him, I'm going to smack him like a bitch.
Well, really?
That's what he needs?
Yeah.
I got some...
All right, don't get you on the radio. You can't be saying that.
That's the F word.
That's good. I help
Come
you
on,
with
man.
You what?
Are you high or something? Did you spend all the money on some weed?
No, man.
Ryan is crazy. He knows why he didn't get it.
Oh, he didn't get it. Well, you better stop watching all that gay porno and come up with a grin, dude.
Ryan is a good kid.
Really?
Yeah, he's a good kid. I like him. He's a good kid.
Ah, well. He doesn't think so. He needs the money, man. No?
he's too ugly.
Really? Oh, my goodness. But you know what else he says, man? He says you're an embarrassment to all African Americans. You know, you're worse than OJ, you know, because he says you're a faggot and he wants the money.
I tell you what I tell him. He's a bum. He's a hobo.
A hobo? Well, you better, come on, man. You better pay up. You know,
yeah,
you've got a blue...
He's a hobo. Tell him that we're going to send him to somewhere in Siberia or Russia. Give him some vodka.
Well, Mike, you better pay up or you're going to get him. Come on. Come on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Ryan is a good kid. We love him. And listen, we have a moment.
What's his nickname?
Make a small bitch.
Oh. All right, that's it.
Okay, my God.
That's it.
My God.
That's it. Timmy, you got a worthy adversary there.
Oh, my God.
Wow. He got wound up there.
We're totally out of delay, so we can't...
Oh my God.
We can't even talk to Ryan right now.
Oh, wow.
I got to wait for the delay to build back up again.
Man, oh, man.
And it sounded to me like you were talking to a member of your family, Timmy. That guy had the accent happening.
I was going to ask him where it was from.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny.
Now we're still waiting on the delay because the guy said MF-er. The guy said...
He really started getting into it in good fun.
Yeah, he liked it.
But he was giving it back as good as he was getting.
Jesus
Christ. Wow.
And Timmy,
there you go. We're back. So, Ryan, you heard all that, huh?
Yeah, that was perfect, Timmy. That was great.
All right,
thank
Ryan.
You.
Hold on, I'll give you the WWF tickets as well. Hold on a second.
All right.
For SmackDown.
Love that bonus.
Thank you for listening, my friend.
I appreciate it, fellas. Have
Thanks.
A good day.
Appreciate you calling. And as always, thank you to the Nigerian Nightmare.
Way to go, Timmy.
Timmy, bye-bye now, buddy.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is Freda, and I live to please my husband.
The Don and Mike Show. Stay listening. The Don and Mike Show.
Man, what a crazy week this is.
So we've got tons of stuff that I'd like to get in this week. One of my favorites, of course, involves... she's dressed today in a beautiful Santa Claus outfit.
It's time for dialing for transvestites with Ron.
This is Santa Claus outfit.
As his alter ego of Delore.
It's like a rockette.
Messing with the minds of folks.
Bertram Mini.
Lots of fun with Ron and Mike and old Rob Dials.
Time for Rob Dials for holiday transvestite.
When you see my outfit, think Eartha Kitt.
There's nothing better than when you do this during the holidays, Dolores.
Well, I love Christmas. I love the holidays.
I know. And you love to talk to the hoes.
I love to provide joy all year, but particularly this time of year.
Love to call the phone hoes, calling our favorite phone sex line.
Ah, the foot line.
The hot foot line.
Oh.
Oh. You're hard what?
Look.
All.
Where? We already had one.
I had hardware. Although I got to tell the whore she's on the air.
Hard whore.
Donna Mike Show, you're on the air.
Hello.
On.
Hi. Before I can connect you, I need you to verify the last four digits of the number you're calling from.
Sure.
Oh, sure. It's,
The number is, let me see which line I'm on here. 3-0-3-5.
Okay. Stand the line, okay?
Thank you, Don Slays.
That's Dolores.
Oh. There you go. Let me tell her she's on the air.
Ooh, baby.
Mine. What?
Where's the whore?
The WTWD.
What would the whore do?
Thank you. Hold on. I got to figure out what to press here.
I think one. Dire.
All right, hold on. I'm in whore.
Ah, ringing to the whore.
Here we go. Donna Mike, you're on the air.
Hello, Nikki?
Yeah.
Darling Nikki?
Yeah, that's me.
Merry Christmas, darling.
Well, thank you, honey. Who am I talking to?
Wouldn't you like to know? Do you want to play mystery, or shall we put our cards on the table?
Hey, I'm by nature a straight shooter.
Right. Me too.
Okay, then.
Great.
Let's have it.
What's that?
Let's have it.
Have what?
Deal.
No, I'm not here to play cards, but I think you know that.
Cards on the table. I said deal.
Oh, I see. You are extending the metaphor. Well, let's go forward. My name is Dolores.
Okay.
And it's Christmas, and I'm looking for a little companionship.
You are?
I am.
Well, what sort of... How old are you, Dolores?
Guess.
How old are you?
Guess. This
Guess.
Is fun, isn't it? Guess. Guess how old I am. What's that?
I said, how old are you?
Right. Let's play the game where you guess how old I am.
No.
Why not?
Because that's something I just... It's just a thing I have to get out of the way. I'm over 18. I got to hear you.
Okay, I'm over 18, but I want you to guess my date of birth. Go ahead. Just guess.
You are a Gemini.
That's right. Which means I was born in the month of?
May or June.
Which one?
May.
Right. And what day?
27.
That's right.
Hey,
language.
Okay. Yeah.
What? Stop it. Don't, no. Language, you're ruining the mood. It's Christmas.
Okay.
Yes.
May 27th. All right.
May 27th.
There you go.
For what year?
1942. No.
Yes. I was a wartime baby.
Get out.
Yes, it's very true.
Oh, I was going to say 62.
No, no. Then you would have been wrong by 20 years.
I would have been.
Yes. But let's talk about Christmas. I'm a transvestite. How do you like that?
I like it.
Yeah, me too. I like being a transvestite. I like being a 59-year-old transvestite.
Okay.
And I'm dressed up in a beautiful Christmas-themed outfit.
All right.
Would you like to hear about it?
I would love to hear about it.
It is a rich burgundy velvet miniskirt with a fur lining. It's sable.
Do you have good enough legs to wear a miniskirt, Laura?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got great legs. Very strong.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent legs. How are your legs?
I'm an athlete. I'm a semi-professional athlete here.
Yeah, so am I. I've got an affliction.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm lacking a foot.
Are we in a speakerphone here?
Yes.
Yeah.
I need to have my hands free.
No.
I got to talk. I've got to keep my hands free right now.
Okay.
But as I was saying, I'm lacking a foot.
You're lacking a what?
A foot.
A foot?
Yep, my left foot is gone. You know that movie, My Left Foot? Couldn't have been about me because I don't have one.
Well, whatever you guys are doing, I'd like to have some.
What?
I said, whatever you guys are doing.
Hey, it's like, just me, baby.
I'd like to
have got a halter top. It's great.
Okay.
You should see it. I'm all buxom and whatnot.
What do you have to put in there?
What do you like?
Well, we're supposed to have these to put in halter top.
Okay. Listen, language, all right? You're ruining my mood.
Okay, I'm sorry. You need for me to be a little more ladylike.
Right.
Let's do the corporate.
You're talking, basically, you're talking, what I want you to be a lady.
Darling.
And you're talking like a common, filthy, street-walking whore.
I love your outfit. It's divine. It's too much. I haven't seen anything like this since last season.
Oh, she's pissed.
Now you're patronizing me. Listen, what I have in my halter is oranges.
Oranges?
Navel oranges.
Navel oranges?
Yes.
I'm very impressed.
Yes. Nice. Beautiful.
Get her to do the...
Are they matching?
Yes.
Jingle bells like the singing dog.
And they're not tangerines now.
And listen, if they would have been tangerines, don't you think I would have said Christing tangerines?
Well...
Listen, sing to me, won't you? For Christmas.
What do you want me to sing?
I'd like you to sing Jingle Bells. Like the dogs.
Jingle Bells like the dog?
Yeah, you know. Woof, woof, woof. Woof, woof, woof. Woof, 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 woof.
I'll tell you what, on the count of three.
No, I'll tell you what. How about you do what I want? Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Yeah.
Dolores.
Yes.
You are a trip, you know that?
That's funny you should say. That's how I lost the foot. It was a grain thresher.
Yeah.
I was brought up on a farm. Guess what state? Come on, guess. It's one of the great 48.
Iowa.
That's right. Gilmore City, Iowa.
I am so good, aren't
you? You are very good, and my foot was gone.
Your foot was gone?
Gone. I spent the whole winter in a bed.
What are you putting in that spiky heel now if you have no foot?
I staple it. Actually, I'm lying, of course. I had my ankle pierced. And I run the strap through that. But that I don't want to talk about it. It hurt a lot, and there's an infection, and there's oozing. But I want you to sing.
Okay.
Okay, sing.
I'd much rather sing the blues.
Yeah, I know. Sing. Sing the not blues. Sing the Jingle Bells.
Oh.
Do you like the Jingle Bells?
Jingle Bells.
No, like the dogs.
Jingle all the way.
Listen, are you deep? Listen to me. Sing it like the dogs.
I don't know how dog. I've never heard
okay.
of
dogs. Okay, I bet you know a few dogs. Am I right, darling?
A number of dogs.
That's right. How about this? Okay, like, it, what sound does a dog make?
Come here, baby. I got something for you.
This isn't going at all well. I'm going to have to hit star and go back to the main menu.
Okie doke.
Oh, you're calling me on this?
Absolutely.
Come on, sing for me.
I did sing for you. You don't like the way I sing.
I don't. I want you to sing like the dog. All right, let's try something new.
I don't know how to do this.
Exactly. Let's do something new. I want you to decorate me.
Oh, I'll decorate you. I make earrings out of Christmas balls. I'll trim you like a Christmas tree.
Nice.
Put some little sparklies there and the cleavage of that sexy...
Right?
I'll tell you, you're a pretty girl.
The dress there.
Am I a pretty girl?
According to you, you are.
Damn right I am.
Great legs and the...
That's right. And if you look just around the sable edging, you'll see some spruce needles, if you know what I mean. You know what I mean?
Is she going to cook for
you? No.
Yeah.
Now let's move on to the holiday dinner.
Let's do that. I'll cook your goose for you.
No goose.
Holiday eggs.
I'm looking for holiday eggs.
You're looking for holiday eggs?
Yes. And a lot of times I fry or poach or maybe even scramble. But guess what's in your future, Nikki?
What, babe?
Deviling.
Now, I do make very good devil eggs.
I bet you do.
Yes, I do.
How do you do it?
Well, do you really want to know?
Listen, that's why I'm dropping the coin.
Okay.
How do we devil our eggs, Nikki?
You get some eggs, you boil them.
Right. Brown eggs?
It doesn't matter to me.
It does matter to me.
Okay.
Let's say we're boiling brown eggs. A dozen extra large... Don't talk while I'm talking. A dozen extra large... brown eggs.
Okay.
Right, and we've boiled them, and cooled them, and we've peeled them.
And how do you cool them?
You put them in the oven, you idiot. No, you just let them cool.
You dump them into a bowl of ice water. Then.
Right, exactly. Then what?
And then, while they're cooling, you're going to get a little Mixmaster bowl, and you're going to put 8 ounces of cream cheese in there.
What the hell are you talking? Can I guess something? I'm getting a vision.
What?
I predict something about you.
Well, you don't know.
Can I guess? Because you've not told me about you.
No, you haven't.
And I have a guess. Can I guess? This is fun, isn't it? I guess that you are really, really fat. How'd I do?
You would be dead wrong on that.
Really? What's your height and weight?
I'll tell you exactly how to find out.
Okay.
Okay. My name is... personal fitness trainer.
Okay, you're not big and fat?
No.
Then you're putting cream cheese and eggs?
We're talking about cooking here.
Yeah, damn right we are, and you're fat. How about that?
No, I'm Italian. I believe you can do it. You can do it low fat, or you can do it good. If you're going to eat, we're going to eat.
You got 1 minute to wind it up with her.
Okay.
That's right.
Why don't you come over here?
Keep saying she's a pig.
Why don't you come over here and show me how fat you are? Or is it hard? Have you lost feeling in your legs?
I lost feeling in my legs.
You know what? What do you want for Christmas? Because I think I might send you a gift.
I've already made... I need a new ankle bracelet.
No, what we would do is we'd get about 6 feet of good link chain. That'd be a good ankle bracelet for you. Come dragging it behind you, big fat hog, Nikki. Merry Christmas, Nikki, you big fat hog. You know what? Let's wind this up because I'm afraid I did. How about that? What do you think of that, Hog?
Just either.
Yeah, well, that's not your job.
Oh my!
No. I'm fine in that region.
Really?
Yeah, but I ain't got no left foot. So with that in mind, let us part as friends.
I think you're old.
I am.
Paunchy, bald, and have knobby knees.
My knees are fine.
You're a transvestite. I think you.
Sorry, we're out of time.
We ran out of delay with
her potty mouth.
She's a nice lady.
There.
And then that was all
time. We're out of time.
Can we meet again? This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.